Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. You can take control of these airwaves. Our toll-free number, it's 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Coming up, social media and its power. Can it be limited? And what does that even mean? Mark's got a story about that. We'll get into that coming up here in a moment. Obviously, a lot of people are concerned with the crackdowns against certain political viewpoints and such that we've seen on major platforms like Twitter. So we can talk further about that story. But first, Arya, you've got a story tonight here about COVID and mental illness. Apparently, they're trying to run the two of those together nowadays.
Well, they're calling them psychiatric disorders in the article that I had pulled up there, but I did find one that referred to them as mental illnesses. Evidently, they're alleging that one in five COVID-19 patients develops a mental illness.
They're claiming after COVID that they didn't already have it?
Well, it says that they're at greater risk of developing mental illness.
It's interesting. See, I would think that people who are forced to stay at home would be at greater risk of developing mental illness, whether or not they come down with COVID.
I would tend to agree, especially if we consider like depression, anxiety,
yeah,
and alcoholism and things like that to be, you know, diseases or mental health issues.
Yeah, and I think that they are, right?
I would agree.
So we're told.
But that's not what they're including in these numbers. They're not considering the massive amounts of people who are suffering from depression or anxiety or isolation or cabin fever or whatever because they've been sitting in isolation for the last 7 months. And I don't think that there are very many people in the United States who actually have been sitting just in their homes for the last 7 months.
I don't know.
Let's talk about the people in nursing homes.
The ones that Cuomo and other governors killed?
Well, the ones that they didn't kill.
Okay.
The ones that they killed probably got off reasonably well in comparison. I have a friend whom I visited nearly weekly, some weeks at least, obviously less in the winter and more in the summer because I spend less time in the winter and more in the summer here. But I've done that for like 7 years. Okay. And he's
a Quaker, right?
He's the founder of our Quaker meeting. You did some computer work for him.
I remember.
At one point. Thank you for that. Anyway, I can't go to see him. At this
at
point,
all.
The rules are still that I can't go see him. Now his family can come see him.
Wow.
But I think that they're still not like actually in the building. Now, remember, the staff comes in and out every day.
What does that mean? Hold on. The family's not in the building? Does that mean they get to stand outside a window and like wave up at him from the Rose Garden?
I'm not 100% sure how it goes. Maybe they have they do have one area that's glassed off, so maybe they...
So it's like prison where they wheel him in the wheelchair and he's behind glass. He picks up the phone. He's all crackly. Can barely hear him.
Don't know if he has gone from... Yeah, I mean, I'll bet you he's gone from walker to wheelchair at this point because I can tell
he wasn't in good shape when I went to see him, and that was years ago.
Yeah, and his handwriting's deteriorating. I think that it's just, you know, he said he's so bored.
God.
And he just doesn't know what to
do. Can't go anywhere.
Right. And, I mean, I'm so sad for my friend, but there's nothing I can do about it.
Can he not leave of his own volition if he so chose? I mean, assuming resources aren't the issue here.
Resources are the issue.
Okay.
He could leave in so much as he has the freedom to leave.
Okay.
But he doesn't have anywhere to go.
Okay.
So he could go for a walk. No problem.
Yeah, he could probably go for a walk.
If he could walk.
But he can't. But his walker really can't take the path out there that they have.
Right.
They have a little sort of circuit that runs a pond, and he really can't do that anymore.
He needs help.
Yeah. You know, he'd get out there, fall down, and then so they'd have to go tote him back. And that would be no fun.
No good.
Yeah.
So anxiety, depression, and insomnia is what they're considering to be among these psychiatric disorders. Insomnia, a psychiatric disorder.
That's difficulty sleeping.
It's kind of a psychiatric disorder, you know. Well, thing's for sure is that developed nations, industrialized nations, have a much higher incidence of mental health issues than developing nations.
Well, because developing nations don't have time for this BS. They have to get out there and work.
Bing, 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 bing.
Oh, I had another old person story, just to interrupt you. So I forget who I was speaking with. I think it might have been the crypto-friendly doctor that we met at a recent meetup up here, the crypto meetups. He came from Massachusetts, and he says that a lot of his patients, his elderly patients, are in a similar situation where they're at a nursing home. In theory, they could leave the nursing home and go somewhere. So, like, one of the guys that he knows is, he likes to go to the casino down in Connecticut. There's a big Indian casino down there called Foxwoods. And that's where, if you're elderly and you want to go spend some of that money that you earned, you go down to the casino, right? And not now. You can't go to the casino. So, the places that these folks would normally have gone to are not open. You can't even go. So, like, this guy, this old guy who really enjoyed his trips to the casino, now can't take any trips to the casino, and right. He's stuck at the nursing home, basically, with nothing to do, and no family coming to see him. So, awful.
I have another Quaker at my meeting who is at the same facility, but a different part of the facility, so she has her own apartment kind of thing. She wanted to go see her family, and went to upstate New York or wherever, and then...
Went on her own volition? Like she can drive?
Yeah, she can drive. She drives to a meeting. She has her own apartment and drives. So she's not in the nursing home part. She's in the assisted living.
Gotcha.
Should she need it. And she appears to not need it
at this time.
At this time. Right. So they made her quarantine for 14 days.
Wow.
So now you got to stay in. Well, now you've gone outside. It's time for you to stay in your hovel for...
for 14 days. Days.
Yeah. It's probably because she left the state, which is this was arbitrary line that she's crossed. It would have, had she gone to deepest Africa or to upstate New York, it doesn't matter. You got to quarantine for 14 days because you've now crossed the geopolitical
arbitrary line.
You can go to Quaker meeting without quarantining because that's within the proper area. Although you're only crossing town lines to get there, you're not crossing state lines, so it's okay.
We're being told something similar at work in regard to the Thanksgiving holiday that, it's okay if you want to go to your family and friends. No one's going to judge you for that or have an issue with that. But, if you go outside of New Hampshire, we have to know. like the virus is too stupid to cross from the Vermont border.
I know what I'd tell them to eat for Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm one of the bosses. What am I going to do? Someone says, hey, I went to Maine. I'm like... Cool.
Have a nice time.
All right. What's next?
So the researchers from Britain's Oxford University also found significantly higher risk of dementia, which is a brain impairment condition. So that at least would be a serious complication as a result of COVID-19, if that is the case. I don't consider anxiety, depression, and insomnia to necessarily be caused by the virus. That may be related to the lockdowns or something like that. But the idea that they're probably anxious and worried about getting COVID-19 again. They're probably anxious about long-term effects that people have been touting.
Maybe losing their job?
Yeah, it's no telling.
That might be a factor.
People have been worried that COVID-19 survivors will be at greater risk of mental health problems, and our findings show that this will be likely. I don't know who's been worried about that. I haven't given it any thought.
I'm worried that the whole world has mass hysteria. Mm. I'm worried that this, the COVID is causing mental health issues in so much as people can't figure out what an expert is, don't know how to read, they're talking about science and don't understand that the science is ambivalent at best.
The science is settled.
The science isn't settled on this. I mean,
well, speaking of people losing their minds, we talked about this last night. Kids forgetting how to eat with forks and knives. Some of them regressing back into diapers.
I can believe that. When, sort of negative change occurs in a child's life, they tend to get regressive. Mm. Yeah. So I absolutely believe it.
Wow. What we found seemed to suggest that it was largely a fault of the parents. Not spending time with their children, going, just slap on some diapers and buy them finger foods.
Get
and
them only
like
pizzas
that.
And burgers or something like that. Yeah.
Well, you'll get no argument from me that the vast majority of people with children shouldn't be. Hmm.
So the study analyzed electronic health records of 69 million people in the United States, including more than 62,000 cases of COVID-19. The findings are likely to be the same for those afflicted by COVID-19 worldwide, the researchers said. In the 3 months following testing positive for COVID-19, 1 in 5 survivors, they're honestly characterizing these people as survivors, were recorded as having a first-time diagnosis of anxiety, depression, or insomnia. This was about twice as likely as for other groups of patients in the same period, the researcher said.
Twice as likely. Interesting. Toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. If you want to call in, did COVID give you anxiety, depression? Your thoughts are welcome. 855-450-FREE, like freedom, Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything that you want right here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live, brought to you by Divvy. You've heard about us talking about Divvy. We've had a relationship with them for over a year now. We started back, I think it was August, September of last year, and Divvy price has done pretty well since then for Free Talk Live. Now, obviously, we can't predict the future, but it's been good for us so far, so we're recommending you check out Divvy. Go to DivvyProject.org. It's easy to get started with Divvy, and of course, you can buy Divvy on exchanges, or you can buy it directly from the Divvy team over the counter, as they call it, which helps because then you're not pushing the price up on whatever exchange that you might otherwise use. So it's kind of a smart way to get a hold of some Divvy. And if you got enough Divvy, you can start a masternode, which is super easy with Divvy. It's like the easiest masternode process I've ever seen. Go to DivvyProject.org, get started there. There's a link to their Telegram channel, which allows you to connect directly with the Divvy team. It's DiviProject.org, DivvyProject.org. In the studio, it's Ian.
Aria.
And Mark.
So, Aria, you're telling us a story about anxiety and depression and all these other mental illnesses, so-called, that people claim.
Sure.
That people who've had COVID have been getting diagnosed with these illnesses, mental situations, on a twice as often basis than the average person. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
They are twice as likely to develop. What they're characterizing as mental illness here is anxiety, depression, or insomnia. I will agree that depression can be, you know, an issue of brain chemicals. In most cases, it probably isn't. When most people say they suffer from the depression, that they're probably just lazy and unmotivated.
Mm.
But sure, brain chemical imbalances are a thing. And
they do exist.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what a lot of the depression folks will fall back on, and I also question it because there's also been studies that show that taking a red sugar pill will also solve depression.
Well,
sure.
There's certainly studies that will show exercise, sunlight.
Sure.
And,
but you can't get a depressed person to go out and do that.
Losing weight.
Can't get a depressed person. You can tell a depressed person, hey, you ought to go for a walk today. It'll help you with your depression. They won't do it.
Right,
but you might be able to get them to take a sugar pill.
Yeah, certainly depression has been used as a crutch.
Yeah, it has.
And I'm not sure if it is more often used as a crutch. I don't know, but that's what I tend to think.
But I do believe the claim that the people who have, you know, survived, quote, COVID could possibly be diagnosed with these things more often simply because they're under extra stress. They've been told all these things about COVID, and maybe they've lost their job or they're quarantined. I mean, there could be some extra stressors that could cause one to feel anxiety or be depressed.
No doubt, if you've just had COVID, the likelihood of you having some anxiety seems a bit higher. But also,
under increased medical scrutiny.
That's true as well.
You know?
Let's talk about the self-selection bias here, too.
Mm-hmm.
Who here has had a COVID test?
Not I.
Nope, not me.
Me either. All right.
I was sick, though, in January.
Dude, I was sick for like a solid month in January or February.
There are articles written that say, were you sick in January? You still don't have COVID. Because just sort of trying to make sure that you understand the severity of this or some crap. I don't know exactly what. But you didn't have a test.
No. And I'm not going to.
Well, you're not interested in getting a test.
Right.
My question is, the people who are getting tests, are they more likely to be the sort that would be anxious and depressed already?
I think so.
I would assume so.
You know, I mean,
and the numbers back that up, believe it or not. The study also found that people with a pre-existing mental illness were 65% more likely to be diagnosed with COVID-19 than those without.
So they've got the test to some extent,
yes,
right?
Yes, because they're anxious about COVID.
Right.
Yeah. I like to find the people with the OCD, invite them over to my house.
So they can clean some stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the end of that joke.
Mental health specialists not directly involved with the study said his findings add to growing evidence that COVID-19 can affect the brain and mind, increasing the risk of a range of psychiatric illnesses.
Except that's not the case.
I don't think that's the case.
The opposite is that the people with a mental illness are more likely to seek these things out because some of them want to have justification for how they were feeling.
Yeah, and some people, it says they were diagnosed, 1 in 5 COVID-19 patients was diagnosed for having anxiety, depression, or insomnia for the first time.
Mm-hmm, right.
So it's hard to say how chronic that problem really is. Everyone experiences bouts of insomnia here or there.
Sure.
So I can't, you know, we don't
or
have
depression
the numbers here
and
or
there.
Or depression, right. Sure.
Right, and if you've been laid up in bed, well, quarantined to one room, then
that is seriously
you're not
depressing.
Getting the exercise that you're used to getting or should be getting. Right. That's going to be depressing too.
Absolutely. Look,
this is self-reporting. This isn't science. This is self-reporting.
No. I would agree. I mean, a lot of these people who are testing positive are like young people, college students who are going out and partying and stuff like that and who have to test in order to attend college. I'm sorry. I thought that was the table leg. So they don't have anywhere to be quarantined except in their dorm, which is a single bedroom and a small one at that. So if they're going to be quarantined for 14 days, it's going to be in this tiny little dorm bedroom, and that's got to be tremendously depressing. It's basically a prison cell.
Same thing's true of the elderly folks who are in their nursing homes.
Yep. Ugh. So this is likely
getting
due
their meals in their room.
Mm-hmm.
just
like prison,
not leaving. Yep. Slide it through the beanhole.
This is likely due to a combination of the psychological stressors associated with this particular pandemic and the physical effects of the illness, said Michael Bloomfield. I don't know what connections they're drawing between the physical effects and, you know, what they're essentially asserting is brain damage caused by COVID-19. Mm. It seems to me that most logical conclusion would be that, you know, this is just, these are psychological stressors that are being caused largely by
the
media
lockdown.
And by the lockdowns.
Yeah.
Right. We're too, I believe the article at least is aiming in the direction of having us believe that somehow COVID causes the most difficult to diagnose mental illnesses out there, the most amorphous and difficult to diagnose mental illnesses out there. That's the biggest, sloppiest stretch I've heard in a while.
Well, the media is not known for anything more than they are known for fanning the fuel, fanning the flames of fear.
Well, yeah, why not just blame COVID for everything? It's COVID's fault that you lost your job. It's COVID's fault that you're feeling depressed. It's
has
COVID's
nothing to do
fault
with,
that you're
with
alone.
With us running story after story after story on this and getting everybody whipped up to the
us,
point that
you mean
we,
the media?
Yeah, collapse the economy.
Just for the sake of curiosity, would this not be the first coronavirus, the first cold, the first flu, the first pneumonia, the first any of these sorts of viral contagions that caused a mental illness that caused depression and anxiety? If it were the case
ridiculous.
That getting this virus caused depression and not these
not the
social
circumstances
factors, yes, wouldn't that make it probably the first one ever?
Yeah,
the first recorded virus
that
can actually cause depression.
It's just ridiculous what these people are saying. I want to go to Larry. He's on the line in Indiana. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Larry.
Hey, now you know what these people are doing on the nightly news? They're selling dope.
Really?
They're selling dope in medical industrial complex. If you listen to them,
Bitcoin?
You're going to be sick. You're going to have some kind of bowel problems. You're going to be blind or something going to be wrong with you. But anyway, here in Indiana, what they're doing now is they're going to, if they catch you without your mask or wearing your mask properly, they've got Homeland Security, they've got alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, plus an army of public health officers going into businesses, catch you. And if a business gets caught,
hold that thought, Larry. I want to hear the rest about what's going on there in Indiana. Your calls and thoughts are welcome as well. You can take control here on Free Talk.
News from news.bitcoin.com. A 1 million ounce gold find in Russia raises questions if Bitcoin is more rare than gold. The Bitcoin market is expected to be volatile until the end of the year. Study shows that half of U.S. investors interested in adding Bitcoin to their portfolio. Bitcoin.com is your source for getting started with cryptocurrencies, getting a wallet, buying Bitcoin Cash, mining, and all the latest cryptocurrency news at news.bitcoin.com.
Free Talk Live. You can dial toll free to join us here. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's Ian,
Aria,
and Mark.
Don't forget, you can join us in the summertime of 2021 for ForkFest 2021. The calendar dates you need to mark down, June 28th through July 4th. It is a decentralized libertarian camping festival happening in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire at Rogers Campground, same place it's happened the last four times. This will be the fifth time coming up in 2021. It's the week after the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which on its own is a fine festival, but ForkFest is a little bit different. It doesn't have a board of directors. There are no organizers. It's up to each individual who attends ForkFest to figure out what to do with their time and, you know, what do they want to do? They want to create something for somebody to enjoy, like a poker table or, you know, maybe some sort of a musical act or, I don't know, some other kind of act. Whatever you want to put on for people, you can do that. Or you can just go around and hang out with other freedom-friendly folks at ForkFest. Go to ForkFest.party to learn more about the event. June 28th through July 4th, 2021, ForkFest.party. We go back to Larry in Indiana. Larry, you were telling us about what's been happening there in Indiana with the crackdown on freedom. Go ahead and fill us in.
Yeah, they're doing the crackdown. Remember I told you about the mask? They were using the mask. I told you it was going to escalate from that, and they were going to use the mask to, if the account went up, they can say, well, you're being disobedient and you're going to be punished. And I also said that it would be arbitrary. Well, what they have done is they've divided the state into segments. Now, if you're in a blue segment, you're okay. But if you're in an orange section, you get more restrictions. And if you're in a red section, they close you down completely and you can't leave your house unless it's for an emergency, and you can't go out of that contaminated region.
So how many of the regions are red segments or sections?
There's 92, and almost all of them are orange now.
Now, are these by zip code, or are they just arbitrary, like, you know, how
they're
they...
by county.
County,
they're
okay.
By county, and there's 92 counties here in the state of Indiana. So they've got that mapped out on the map, and they show that every time they get up there to threaten people, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if they come in your business, like I said, Homeland Security and the ATF is out now with their troops, and if they come to your business or your restaurant and you've got an overpopulation of people in that, and they find that somebody in there has tested positive for COVID, right? Or your name is on a list where some tracker has said that he's been in contact with you, and he's positive. Well, you know what they do in that case? They lock the whole business down and quarantine everybody for 14 days. In the business, in the restaurant, in the nightclub, if you're sitting too close at the tables and so forth. So
you mean they? You mean the people who are there get quarantined for 14 days? You don't mean that they get locked into the nightclub for 14 days?
Yes, they do. Okay, but listen to this.
Right?
You mean
they
go home.
They bring your food and stuff. And what they do is it's by directive, not by a judge's order. And they don't need probable cause. If you've been around somebody with COVID and they find that you're in close proximity, just like a church. Now, the limit of people that you can have in an establishment is 10 people.
10
so,
people?
What happens if this happens at a strip club?
Yeah,
are you locked in with the strippers for 14 days?
They don't lock
days?
You in the club. So,
I
wait a minute.
Sorry,
10 people? Hold on. Did you just say, Larry, that the maximum in a given location is 10 people?
That's right. And
is this, hold on, just to clarify, is that for the red zones or the orange zones?
That's for the red zones.
For the red zones. So does that mean, just to clarify, does that mean that if I go into a restaurant, that includes, or like if you can even walk into a restaurant, does that mean that like the cooks in the back and the wait staff and the customers cannot total more than 10?
That's the patrons. And then another thing is, too, they say that if you're the business owner and they catch one of your people that are working serving somebody without a mask on, then you're going to get closed down completely for 30 days. So they're destroying our business.
That's
our
the most horrifying aspect of all of this, is how, you know, it's just blatant fascism for the government to come along and say, you're going to enforce the law or we're going to shut you down.
Yeah, and it's making New Hampshire sound better and better. Thank you, Larry, for the call tonight here. I mean, it is not that bad here. It's bad in New Hampshire. I don't make it sound like it is.
Well, it's bad in places like Keene and Nashua.
Yeah. That's true. Well, they also have state level restrictions as well. Although I went to a restaurant tonight where not a single staff member had a mask on.
Nice.
I'm not going to say which one it was because I don't want to throw them under the bus, but I had not been in there yet since COVID in this particular restaurant, and not a single mask in sight except for the people that were coming in as customers. But the staff did not have masks, which was nice.
Good for them.
Yeah. So happy to see that. And thank you for the call, Larry. I definitely appreciate hearing from you. And I did pull up the map he was talking about here of Indiana with the 92 counties. And yeah, it's probably 90% orange. So like the second most severe. And then there's maybe about 10% or 7% that are probably red. So maybe about a 10 counties or something that are red. And then there's just a handful that are yellow.
So how many cases do they need in order to be orange?
Orange has to be per 100,000 residents, 100 to 199 new cases. Over what time frame? I'm not clear.
Cases.
Yeah.
Not deaths.
Not deaths.
Because
No one talks about deaths anymore.
Because they're not happening, are they?
Well,
I mean, somebody probably somewhere is dying, but I don't even know anyone who's sick.
So all I can do is look at deaths in the United States. I just don't know what to believe when it comes to what people died from.
Well, yeah, you can't.
Because, you know, we read a story where basically 10,000 people actually died of only COVID and that it was always a comorbidity with a bunch of other things. And don't forget that the median age, at least at one point for this, was 80 years old. So, mm-hmm. you know, some of the factors are diabetes, obesity, old age. I mean, you're talking about fat 80-year-olds are mm-hmm. dying. How long exactly were they going to live? And so when we're talking about deaths now, we don't even know if any of these some of these deaths that are, exceed the excess death number in the United States are they deaths of despair? We don't even know that. So, I mean, that's not I can't speak to that. But what I can say is that I've kept a close eye on deaths in this chart here. And well, it's if you consider it normal. Deaths between like 55,000 and 60,000 per week in the United States, and that's all causes,
mm-hmm.
then we are in that range. We are above.
So it's normal.
We're above the excess death number by a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but the excess death number is just sort of, I mean, like it's drawn arbitrarily,
right.
and it's difficult to say. I mean, you know, COVID's real. It appears.
Supposedly.
Sure. I don't have any belief that COVID isn't real, right? I'm sure the disease exists, but I would love to remind people without them saying, oh, you're a COVID denier or whatever. Right. I would love to remind them that if it wasn't for the media telling you about COVID-19, you wouldn't know that such a disease existed because people aren't getting sick in mass. They're not dying in the streets.
Not in most demographic cells and that sort of thing, right? Like it's not a meaningful thing in most people's lives. It's a geriatric issue.
Yeah.
It's a nursing home issue. It's a diabetes issue.
Well, and it's also, you know, really hard to get a finger on what's really happening. As you pointed out, Mark, the deaths are questionable. A lot of the death numbers are very questionable, but also a lot of the testing numbers are questionable as well. I was just having a conversation with my roommate, and I think he was telling me about a couple of folks his mom knows in New York, and I may have not 100% the details straight on this, but they were supposed to get like a COVID test before they could go travel and do a certain thing. I forget what it was, but
I have to do that.
Yeah. And they weren't able to get it. Like they kept calling and it was like, well, we don't have time. We can't schedule you or whatever. They just weren't able to get it done in time. So they just went and they did the thing they had to do. And then later the hospital calls them back and says, we have the test results. You've tested positive for COVID.
But they never actually
took the test.
Right. I wouldn't doubt it at all.
So how many of these positive COVID test results are actually so-called COVID in the first place? And, of course, as we know, most of them aren't dying from it anyway, even if they do have it. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. But we're being told the hospitals are full again in Utah. That's why, for instance, they... Yep, it's Free Talk Live. You bring up what you want right here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Also, we've got our Matrix chat server where there was a little bit of a refresh or a restart that I did on the chat server over the weekend. Turns out we hadn't quite set it up exactly the way it should ideally have been set up. It's our own chat server, number one. So that means that all these Twitter, Facebook concerns about mega corporations
shutting
cracking
us down,
they do not apply here. There is no one
can't do it
who can shut the server down, with the exception of the server administrator, who is part of the show. That's Michael Hampton, who's been a host here on Free Talk Live in the past.
Seems so unlikely.
Great guy. And but, you know, there's apparently a 2400 item settings file that you have to go through. So there's a lot of different settings that you could choose on this particular server.
And I'm speculating that we didn't go through that.
No, he did, but you know, he missed one. And the one that that needed to be set, that wasn't set the best way it could have been, was the option that allows you, as a user, you can create your own chat rooms on this server. So the old system we had was a top-down thing where we decided which chat rooms there would be. Now, we can make chat rooms, but so can you. So you can join the official rooms, or you can make your own, or join the other people's rooms, or whatever. But the way it was set up initially for the last 2 months that we've been running this thing was that when you created a new room, it was always encrypted. And there was no way to create an unencrypted room. So that causes issues. So, Mark, you had a couple issues where you'd connected to the server, but you didn't put your key in, or something happened where you couldn't read any of the chats that were in the
room. It was very frustrating. For the first several times when I logged on, for whatever reason, I just couldn't read anything.
And it wasn't you. It wasn't just you. It was happening to other people as well. Just because it's a little clunky to deal with encryption. You have to deal with keys, secret keys, and save the key. Oh, you didn't save the key. Well, sorry, you can't ever see anything that has ever happened in these rooms until you've joined them, and then you can't. It just created some problems. And so to be able to have unencrypted rooms means that there's less or fewer problems that will occur. It just makes a smoother new user experience. The fact is, you don't need the room to be encrypted if it's a public room. Right. There's no reason for encryption in a public room. If anyone can join the room, there's no reason to be obsessed with secrecy, right?
Assume that at least half the people you're talking to are informants.
Correct.
It's always the thing to assume when you're on the internet.
Yeah, there's a good chance the more people that are in the room, and by more I mean any over the number of two, there's, you know, the higher the risk that somebody in there isn't who they say they are, and maybe working for the government or whatever.
Sure.
So so having all the rooms be encrypted was detrimental.
So if there's three people in the show, how many of them are feds?
I don't know. It's a good question. You figure that out. But anyway, so the whole point is to allow the user or the administrator, the person creating the room, to make that decision for themselves. So now, by default, you can create an unencrypted room. It's by default unencrypted. You can encrypt it if you like. But once you encrypt, there's no going back. You can't unencrypt. You'd have to delete the room entirely and then create a new room. So it gives the users more of a choice, and it gives our public rooms the non-encrypted features, which actually are better. You can search now. You couldn't search before.
Right.
I mean, that sucks. You go into a room, you're like, oh, somebody said something cool yesterday. Hit the search button. Sorry, it's an encrypted room. You can't search. So,
that's bizarre.
Yeah, so now that they're unencrypted, you can search the rooms. So, I mean, again, for security, if you need a room that's secure, you don't want it to be unencrypted. But if you want a public room like we want, then unencrypted's better. So that's the change we made, but it meant that I had to wipe the whole server clean. And, not the whole server. The private rooms I didn't touch, but all the public rooms, I deleted all of them. And so we started from scratch. So if you come into the server, you may notice there's some weirdness going on. If you've already been in and you come in and you're like, what happened? You just have to rejoin the rooms. You may have to log out and log back in, but then you'll be good to go. Sorry.
I don't remember the question.
That's okay.
It wasn't super important.
Check out the Matrix server. Go to chat.lrn.fm. I think it's great overall. I think it's been a good experiment for the last couple months, and we should be good to go from here on out. So hop on in there, chat.lrn.fm. Let's go to the phones to Robert in Bellows Falls, Vermont. Robert, you're on Free Talk Live. Ian, Ari, and Mark.
So you guys were talking about, you know, people taking the COVID test and stuff like that. And I've been very, you know, paranoid about, you know, having to do the test. I mean, in terms of just going to the hospital, because I was always afraid of getting the virus.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, for the last few weeks, I haven't really been, up to par. I've had some pain in my arms and in the back of my neck, and it was so bad that I had to go in to go to the hospital. And when I got there, I had to do the COVID test where, you know, they have, it looks like a pair of chopsticks, And, you know, they put them up. I mean, it didn't go that far up into my nose, but it was like a couple-hour result test. And I came back, you know, without COVID-19. But what I did learn was that I have Lyme disease.
Oh, no.
You know, and, you know, so they got me on medication, and it's really painful because it starts right at the top of my spine, and then it goes down both of my arms and then right up to my wrists. And, you know, some days are better than others, but I think that the medication that they have me on is going to help that out. But
I hope it does. That's Lyme disease can last for years.
Yeah, I thought it was a lifetime thing. Does it go away?
It morphs.
Okay.
It changes. Gets more tolerable.
Yeah. And it sometimes it's difficult to drive and stuff like that. But Ian, you know me personally. I've gone out there for, you know, a year since this, almost a year this virus has been out, shook hands with people, you know, hugged people, gone over to people's homes. And if I got the virus because I'm diabetic, that would be catastrophic. I wouldn't be here, you know?
Maybe.
And just really have a hard time believing in this virus. I really do.
I heard you, Robert. I'm sorry to hear about the diagnosis, and thank you for calling and sharing your thoughts with us tonight. I'm like you, Aria, on this. I don't disbelieve that this thing exists. In the same way that I'm pretty sure the cold exists and the flu exists, and these things are uncomfortable for most people, and some people die from them, and most of us just move on and we, you know, get on with life. And that's the way things used to be. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's afraid, or a significant amount of people are living in fear. We're seeing depression coming out of this. We're seeing, and it's not because of COVID, it's because of the crackdowns. It's because of people losing their jobs. The economy is in shambles, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse because in a lot of places, they're re-locking down. Oh, just a minute after they reopened, now they're re-locking down. San Francisco, headline today, shuts down indoor dining at restaurants. They barely just reopened indoor dining
right
in San Francisco.
And there's scant evidence that lockdowns do anything.
No, even the World Health Organization finally came out against them.
Right. I mean, they just don't, I don't know what this mass psychosis is, why they just, you know, we people just keep the government officials. I just don't understand it. Why do they keep doing the things
because
the experts say they don't work?
Because it's not about the experts. It's about being able to believe that someone out there can institute some law that will keep them safe.
That's what it's about. That's, absolutely. Yeah. And there are guidelines that would be more effective than what we've done up to this point. I mean, and you know, this would be a really great opportunity to show that the government can learn, but it really can't. If they were just to, I don't know, advise the people who are obese, diabetic, over the age of, you know, 70 years old or whatever. Remember, there aren't many 70-year-olds that are working. And
but see, that's not, people aren't afraid of dying from the virus. They're afraid of COVID-19 itself. I mean, these people who are in favor of the mask mandates, who want the government to protect them, they're not really worried about dying. They're just terrified of this almost mythological entity that COVID-19 has become in their heads because of this constant fear-mongering that they faced over the last 9 months.
Right. There's everywhere. Certainly people who have been debilitated and died, you know, that had COVID-19 that were under the age of 70 or whatever. But the
scant few.
Yeah, the numbers, you know, when you cut out 75 and up, 65 and up, whatever the thing is, you cut out, you know, X percent body fat, the morbidly obese. You cut out people with full-on diabetes.
You're trying to reason with people who are hysterical, though, Mark.
I know. You're trying to reason with people who are hysterical, and that's really what the issue is.
Right.
That, like, you are 35, and you're in shape. You have nothing to worry about. Oh, but I don't want to kill Grandma. When was the last time you saw Grandma?
Do you remember the clown sightings of 2016?
Yeah. I remember that.
This reminds me so much of that because people were legitimately afraid of clowns, and people were faking having seen clowns. People were being clowns.
Yeah.
They were. And, you know, it was just this mass hysteria that for a number of months just took over the United States of people being terrified that there were clowns everywhere and they were out to get them. And none of that ever happened.
There's more
COVID-19 and who's laughing?
This is Free Talk.
Having taken her father's throne, Sarah Calhoun has fallen out with one of her best allies. And her brother Nathaniel heads into Imperial Philadelphia with a reckless plan. Her uncle Thomas, armed with new powers and new allies, aims to remove Sarah from her throne and from the world of the living to survive and to gain the strength she needs to fight an impossible war. Sarah must unite the Mound Builder Kings to enact an ancient rite that will propel her beyond mortality. Servant Daughter by T.J. Butler is the newest entry in the Dragon Award-winning Witchy War series from Bane Books at BaneBooks.com. Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, you can bring up anything right here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733, kicking off the second hour with you tonight. It's Ian.
And Aria.
And Mark.
All right, so we're going to go back into your phone calls and thoughts. You can bring up absolutely anything you want. Unfortunately, COVID is back in the news. This isn't going away. If the government gets their way, this is going to be with us forever.
Well, it was always going to be with us forever, right?
The lockdowns are going to be with us forever.
It's starting to look that way, man.
Supposedly, there's a vaccine out there.
Oh, yeah. Then you can get the vaccine and be allowed to return to normal life. Ticketmaster in the news today. They say that you will be able to verify your COVID vaccination status, or rather you'll be required to, before you can get a concert ticket.
Well, this is going to help people buy them on eBay. But, I mean, realistically, a vaccine isn't going to help because the antibodies for the COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2, whatever they're calling it, only lasts like 40-something days anyway. So you're going to have to get vaccinated every 30 days.
I don't know that... Hold on. Wait a second. So at this point, we don't know is really the answer.
There have been confirmed cases of people who have gotten it a second time. Yeah. So we know the antibodies are not permanent.
Okay. So...
maybe in some people.
Right? I believe the vaccine,
average seems to be about 40 to 60 days.
So we have talked about the mass hysteria that's going on. How do you solve the mass hysteria as politicians?
You stop fear-mongering.
But then people are still scared. What happened? You told us. So here's what you do. You come out with a vaccine that's basically sugar water. You shoot people up with and say, circle, circle, dot, dot. Now you've got your cootie shot. You pat them on the ass and you send them out to go live life normally because now they're safe.
Mm.
Do you really think the government wants to stop the fear or wants to put an end to the hysteria? They seem to be benefiting from it.
They absolutely are.
Yes, but this
look,
way
look
they can
this
cash
presidential
in,
election. Not one question about the wars. 20 years of war. Two
Good
presidential
point.
Candidates, not one
well,
single comment on the wars.
Trump did push his sort of anti-warness for a brief period of time until sort of he got checked on it. But what the government does here is that it spikes the football in the middle of the field, declares itself a touchdown, and then wanders off. You know, like it did nothing the whole time but create problems. But now they've solved it because, you know, We expedited the vaccine and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting theory, but it seems to me that the government, I mean, would like to actually put some sort of chemical concoction in your veins.
Sure, but what would that do and be?
Who knows?
Yeah.
You sure as hell won't know if you get one of them.
That's the truth. Well, so let's look at what exists currently. The flu vaccine is a really great thing to look at. Now, do you have some understanding of the flu vaccine, Izzy?
I know that they put one out every single year because the flu is constantly changing. And so they're trying to like somehow keep up with that, which seems like a futile thing.
And
so
they're trying to keep up
managed
with it from 18 months ahead. They're trying to predict the future.
So they've basically managed to use this flu vaccine to get people into the habit of getting regular vaccinations.
Sure. So the flu vaccine's done annually. By and large, that vaccine is By and large, it's useless. Sometimes they hit the jackpot. Like anybody who's guessing ahead, they manage to guess the right flu strain, and then, you know, then it's a great thing. Now, don't forget that a good portion of the population is allergic to this flu vaccine. I am one of them. I thought for a long time that I got the flu from the flu vaccines, but that's not true. I just have a reaction that's remarkably like the flu from the flu vaccine. And
well, isn't the is the flu vaccine one of those dead vaccines where it's like the actual flu, but
it's dead? Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can't get the flu from the flu vaccine.
Except you kind of did.
Except that you get flu-like symptoms from the vaccine. So, you know,
so much like the flu. In what way would that be preferable to having the flu?
Well, it's not, but okay. This is the problem of having the argument with the medical sphere, right? They're like, you didn't get the flu from the flu vaccine, and you're spreading lies. Oh, I got something that's remarkably like the flu from the flu vaccine, right. And because I have said it incorrectly, you're going to say that all my experiences are inconsequential. Mm-hmm. Well, crawl up and die. You're the number three cause of death in the United States, right? Like the medical establishment is the number three cause of death. Now, I'm not trying to turn everybody anti-doctor, but just remember when you're listening to these folks, they're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination.
They're humans.
They're trying not to kill you and then do. It's one thing if you smoke cigarettes and kill yourself. You knew that was going to happen. When you go to the hospital, get MRSA, and die from it, that's something entirely different.
All right, I want to go to Gene, the Christian Anarchist. Speaking of people in the medical business, he actually is a manager at a doctor's office. Go ahead, Gene.
Yeah, I wanted to call with an update to the common COVID. And for
or not so common.
Well, actually, it is getting to be quite common, almost as common as the common cold. But, yeah, for listeners that don't know, my doctor wife and myself have our medical office, and we see many thousands of patients. But anyway, the deaths are still very, very low. Local hospital ICU is full, but it's unclear exactly how many are COVID patients.
Yeah, anyway. What is with that? Now, all of a sudden, because I remember months ago they were talking about we need more ICUs, and they like set up tents, and they made these temporary hospitals. And
didn't use them.
And almost none of them got used. Now we're seeing these reports again, and the last I saw was in Utah. They were saying the ICUs are full, hence they need to have a mask mandate now in Utah, which they didn't have before, is what the governor says there. So what do you think the reason is that these ICUs are full? Is this getting more severe, or is there something else going on?
No, ICUs tend to get full from time to time, and usually it's associated with something going around like the flu or that kind of thing. And this is the time of year when we're going to see more and more, especially older people, catching diseases and getting sick. And
Well, so, this is flu season now, isn't it?
Right. So, and I don't know which patients are in there. I don't have that information in front of me. But the hospital itself is mostly empty. Our hospital here is probably...
How hard would it be to turn 60%. A hospital bed into an ICU bed?
Different equipment and things. If they don't have the equipment, they just can't do the...
Okay.
Change the bed over. But anyway, today we had... It was interesting. We had a meeting with two representatives from a very large testing lab where we send most of our medical tests. And, you know, I don't want to name the lab, but anybody who's in the business would know who I'm talking about if I mentioned their name. And during the course of our conversation about other things, I asked them how many of the tens of thousands of COVID tests they're doing are coming back positive. And he said about 2%. So then I asked
him, really?
Well, how many of the flu tests are coming back positive? He said about 3%. So the flu is actually affecting slightly more people according to these tests. Now, the tests are not 100% accurate. But if you figure that they're reasonably accurate and that these results are useful, then it means that more people are actually getting the flu than are getting COVID.
Well, it means a higher percentage of the flu tests are coming back positive than a higher percentage of the COVID-19 tests, but we don't know how many flu tests there are versus how many COVID-19 tests.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. We don't know. And some people may be getting both.
Terribly sorry. Yeah, I had an experience in my family. Jack got ill. He had
your
a 103-point-something degree temperature. I was terrified
this,
when I heard
this
it.
This year?
Yeah, this is just recently, in the last several weeks. So, of course... We had to take him off to get tested. He's, you know, school and the whole thing. We have to do these things. There's protocols in place. So
thank God for that.
He got tested, and they said not only did he not have COVID, He didn't have the common cold, and he didn't have the flu.
So what was it?
They don't know.
Oh, well,
it's just
good.
Like, we tested for three things. He didn't have them.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, one might suggest, well, what the hell did he get this high temperature from?
So maybe it was just high temperature, not vomiting? Or
yeah, there was some vomiting.
Some vomiting, okay.
Yeah, there's a variety of things going on. They just, you know, you know.
He survived it.
Yep. He paid for the test, and off we went.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's good at least. Well,
and you know, this thing about masks and all of this nonsense about shutting down businesses, we're not doing it for the flu. And the flu typically every year kills a lot of people. And even if this COVID is twice as bad as the flu, or let's say it's five times as bad as the flu, it still isn't worth shutting down the economy and forcing
it
people
never was.
To do all it. Yeah, because number one, in our country, supposedly, we have something called the Constitution. Of course, it's of none effect, as Lysander Spooner clearly pointed out. But assuming that the Constitution actually meant something to people in charge.
Hold that thought, Gene. More coming up here in moments. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. This is Free. It's Free Talk Live. You bring up what you want here. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Also, our Matrix chat server allows you to call in. Super easy to do that. You just have to jump through a few steps, and those steps are outlined for you over at chat.lrn.fm. I want to say thanks to Chris Grigio, who is a Free Talk Live Gold amplifier. Chris contributes $10 a month to the AMP program. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. It is a way for you to get behind what we do here on Free Talk Live so you can help us get this show on more radio stations around the country. We're on about 190, almost 190 stations right now, and that's AM and FM stations across the United States and beyond, as far away as Guam and Alaska. So you can support the show. You can get some cool perks and some bennies by doing that over at amp.freetalklive.com, just like Chris Grigio. So thank you, Chris, for that. It's amp.freetalklive.com. You can sign up with debit card, credit card, PayPal, and if you want to, Bitcoin BTC. We will still accept that from you as well, even though the fees are pretty ridiculous. So you might want to buy like 12 months at a time. You do have to prepay if you use Bitcoin, but if you do credit or debit or PayPal, it comes out monthly. So it's up to you how you want to do it. We appreciate it. Makes a big difference for us over at amp.freetalklive.com. Let's bring back Gene the Christian Anarchist. He is one of those amplifiers, and he's calling us, and he's watching on our DLive stream. Go ahead, Gene.
Yeah, come on, people. If you like the show, amp up here.
Thank you.
What I was getting at when we went to the break was that the Constitution doesn't give the government the authority to restrict liberty for any kind of a emergency. I don't care if half the people, well, I mean, I care if half the people in the country were dying, but even if half the people in the country were dying, they don't have the authority to do these things. And now this is a precedent. You know, government loves precedents. They just send, I think they spend most of their time looking for things to make precedents out of. So now they've set a precedence to protect the
people. Well, the precedent was set a long time ago. I mean, the government granted itself the authority to violate the Constitution as much as it wanted. I mean, it's had internment camps. It's had concentration camps. So the Constitution, as you pointed out before we went to the break, it doesn't really matter. And you can spin its words pretty much any way you want. And people have done that to the Supreme Court to the extent that they are justifying concentration camps in the United States.
You can't, the federal government can't, sort of do the lockdown measures, but the state governments can, and the feds can pressure the states into doing it. I mean, I don't know why the Supreme Court says that it's okay to, put, you know, the entire American population on house arrest without habeas corpus, but that's what they've said.
It's not concentration camps. They're COVID freedom camps, kids. Come on in.
Well, the point I'm getting at is, yes, the Constitution's been violated since day one, and the only person in government I ever heard tell the truth about the Constitution was Bush, when he said the one time, he says, the Constitution, it's just a GD piece of paper. Well, he was telling the truth for once. You know, one time the guy tells the truth and people poo-poo him. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yes, but this precedent is mind-boggling because they have never tried to lock down the entire country and a whole state or whatever, you know, whatever the restriction is.
They've never done it to this extent, and they've never had such a positive response to anything like this. I mean, the people are just eating it up.
How freedom dies to much applause.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next step is they're talking about doing this to save the planet. It's going to be a carbon lockdown because we're polluting. No, I've heard talk of it. This is not. I'm not joking here. They're discussing a carbon lockdown, a green lockdown.
Who's they?
People in the green community, especially politicians and, you know, the lefties. They're talking now about the possibility of doing a lockdown to protect the planet.
I mean, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are on record as supporting the Green New Deal, and the Green New Deal is a bunch of voodoo economics that, you know, doesn't mean anything anyway, so why not a lockdown too?
So this is their precedence. They've got a precedence. Now they can move on to doing
It's just going to get worse. Thank you, Gene, for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. Unless there's some level of resistance, unless there's some level of refuseniks, people who are not going to do what they're told. And those people exist, but are there enough of them in one given location? I don't know.
It's difficult to say because of all of the shaming and stuff that goes on around COVID-19 and being against the mask mandates or even against the mask or whatever. If you fall out of the acceptable line to any degree on COVID-19, even if we just point out to people that, hey, if it wasn't for the television telling you so, you wouldn't actually know that COVID-19 was even a thing.
Right.
Stepping outside of that and saying these things, it results in a massive amount of shaming. And people don't want to go through that. They'll just keep their mouth shut. It's just like in 2016, people who, you know, the polls predicted that Trump was going to lose because the people who supported Trump
wouldn't say they would.
Yeah, they were terrified of the results if they spoke their minds.
And, I mean, if you look at the situation, there are plenty of people who benefited from COVID-19. Follow the money has always been the prescription for figuring out how things are going. I mean, it's not...
Oh, Amazon's enormously up.
Yeah, but Amazon's up, sure. But what about the person who was basically at home making $600 a week plus unemployment for, you know, whatever percentage of their paycheck they were making? I mean, there were many people in America making more money being at home than they were at being at work.
How's it going now?
Right, not so great now, but that's why they want it again. Where's our sweet government check?
Right.
Bring back the lockdown. So the government workers, in many cases, are only half staff. So they're on Tuesdays and Thursdays, while the other ones are on Mondays and Fridays, and everybody takes Wednesday off, and they're all on, doing their job from Zoom. And there's plenty of people that would much rather, I mean, there's corporate workers from around the country who love this Zoom thing. People are fleeing New York and LA in droves, and now they don't have to pay the ridiculous rents and mortgage payments and these sorts of things.
Yep.
They're working from Cody, Wyoming, you know, and everything's fine. There's lots of people who benefited from COVID, and they want the benefits that
they want
saw.
To stick.
Now, the small business person in America, the person who worked hourly, and these sorts of things, they got screwed, but nobody cares. So small business is going out? That's fine. Amazon's still delivering to my house.
I have a story from a lady, the same lady, actually, who was brought her kids to the park in Concord, New Hampshire, back in April, and was confronted by the police in the park, ultimately arrested for that 5 months later, is now facing two misdemeanor charges, up to 2 years in prison, away from her children.
For what?
For putting her kids in danger of COVID by letting them go on the playground.
With nobody else there.
Right. So
that is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was probably for going, calling the cops Nazis and going at them is what my guess would be.
I don't know if they went but they definitely did not appreciate the police coming to visit them, and they let them have it verbally. But she writes, her name's Rochelle. She says, I'm shaking right now. I was in line at the market basket 6 feet away, and the man in front of me started shaking his head at me. So I asked him what was wrong. And she says she's being super nice because I knew what his issue was. And he said, you can't even wear a mask to keep her, points at the elderly cashier, safe. And I'll tell you the rest of the story here about this cashier confrontation. Again, it wasn't the cashier confronting her. It was the man in line.
It was a Karen.
A male Karen. Yes. More coming up here. It's Free Talk Live.
July 25th, we adopted April. She's a purebred orange and white Brittany. But when she started scratching like crazy, I said to John, it's got to be her food. You know, what you put into a dog is what you get out. We heard this radio commercial, and this woman was so excited about Dinovite. Dinovite.com. I said to John, I'm getting this. So the Dinovite comes, and I thought, a light bulb moment. She loves her dog food. She always lays a little bit in her bowl. So we added a huge scoop of Dinovite in it, and then we swished it around like gravy. She dove into that bowl. She licked it clean. She loved it. So that's been the routine. April gets Dinovite for dessert. Her coat is now soft. It's silky. Dinovite is nutrition. She even walks like a little princess.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I'm Dinovite. She's Little Miss Hollywood.
Dinovite.com. It's Free Talk Live. You bring up what you want. Toll free here. The number 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Matrix chat server as well. And you can connect through that. You'll sound almost like you're here with us. It's Ian.
Aria.
And Mark.
Okay, so we're going to go back to your phone calls and thoughts. I mentioned to you that now Ticketmaster is going to be requiring a vaccine or a clear COVID test in order to buy concert tickets, according to news reports here, CBS Los Angeles. But let's go first to your calls, where Bad Slave is on the line in New Hampshire. Bad Slave, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead. Bad Slave in New Hampshire. Going once. Bad Slave in New Hampshire, going twice, maybe having some technical difficulties there. We'll put him back on hold. So the report here out of CBS of Los Angeles that COVID-19 tests will be required. Ticketmaster says they are working on a plan to use smartphones to verify whether customers have been vaccinated or tested for coronavirus, according to Billboard. While the plan is still in early phases, Billboard reports the process would involve fans using the Ticketmaster app in partnership with medical information firms and vaccine and testing distributors.
Jesus, what part of locking entertainment behind a vaccine sounds like a good idea to people?
All the people who are afraid, I guess. I mean,
and
remember,
this is an issue with digital tickets. You know, I said this is going to drive up sales on eBay or for ticket sales and things like that.
How do you resell a ticket that's not physical?
Yeah. Because I've gone to concerts in the last several years, and I think the last time I got a physical ticket was with the A Perfect Circle concert in like 2012.
Sometimes you can order the physical ticket from these online delivery firms. They'll just charge you like an extra $5 or something like that.
Okay.
I mean, maybe they'll get rid of that entirely, but
I mean, you
can
probably still resell the digital ticket, but then that person is going to have to jump through the same COVID-19 hoops,
probably,
presumably.
They're already discussing a vaccine passport. So essentially something that goes along with your passport in order to be able to travel. Now, passports are really important in some places in the world. Other places in the world, they're basically meaningless. Like in the United States, a vast majority of Americans will not leave the United States this year. So, you know, not so important for them, but in some places it's very meaningful. And yeah, I think they're going to try to get worldwide compliance on this vaccine. Would I be one of the first? No, I don't think I would be interested in being one of the first.
I'm not interested at all.
Well, should be interesting to see what it's going to be like to be one of the, at this point, the new, you know, deplorable.
Pariahs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it all sounds very Christian-esque, Mark of the Beast type of nonsense, really, when it comes down to it. Oh, you have to have this thing. The government has to do this thing. Then you can go shopping. Then you can go to concerts. Right. Then you can go back to your normal life.
Well, again, concerts aren't going to be like they were normally, according to, I mean, presuming things keep going down this road. There was a study done in Germany looking at concerts and how they could be held with COVID restrictions in place. So remember, we'd already talked about, what was it, the Flaming Lips, where they actually had little
bubbles
for everybody. Did you see this, Ari? Were you on that show?
I was not on that show, but I did see it.
Did you see the photos?
Yeah.
People literally 6 feet from
each
other.
In hamster balls.
In hamster balls, yeah.
I'm crazy. Also told that this isn't terribly unusual for Flaming Lips, though. They do this sort of...
No, it's unusual for the audience. So the performer, the singer, has been in the ball, and he, like, rolls out in the audience. You can, like, you know...
Sure.
bat the performer around, basically, right? Sort of like a crowd surfing, but a different thing. Now, that's kind of cool. That's a cool gimmick, right? Like, you're doing something different with your show by doing that.
Sure. So he shared that experience with the audience.
Yes. Except now they could just stand in their balls and
dance. They could, like, roll around and stuff, right?
Maybe. I don't know. That might have been against the rules.
I mean, basically, the whole floor was filled with people in balls.
Yeah, there's nowhere to go.
You can bump against each other, and that's about it.
Yeah, it sounds like kind of a good time,
though. What if you have to go tinkle?
No, it didn't look like a good time.
What if what?
What if you have to go tinkle?
Yeah, it would be very difficult. It did not look like a good time at all.
How are they going to serve you drinks? You know?
You can't.
you
have to get out of the ball.
Well, you don't go to a rock concert and then buy their $12 beers, Mark. You go there
pre-game
already.
It.
Yeah.
Right, or bring a flask in your hip pocket or something.
Yeah, that would be the only way to do it. But the I don't know if you saw the video.
I haven't been to a rock concert in a very long time.
Have you ever been to one?
It depends on what you call rock.
Then no.
So
I've been to all ages.
Bob Seger? No.
I've been to all ages punk shows.
Okay.
That
would be rock.
Did you watch the video? Because there's photos and then there was video.
I only saw photos. I mean, I saw it and I heard a lot of people who were fans of the Flaming Lips saying, you know, this really isn't that terribly unusual for them. I was like, okay.
This was incredibly unusual. I mean, I'm not a fan of the Flaming Lips, but from what I understand, only the singer had ever been in a plastic ball. Maybe the guys on the stage or something like that. But this was literally everyone in the audience in a ball, 6 foot, you know, radius.
Yeah.
So they were like pressed up against the other balls that were out there. So there was no room that you could, like, just roll through and go to the bathroom or whatever. So you would have to, like, literally stand there unless you could somehow let yourself out of the ball and then exit the area or something
sure,
like
I
that.
Sure, I get that it sounds horrifying, but at the same time, like, if Tool was to do, like, a Zoom-only concert, it wouldn't be terribly surprising for me as a person who listens to Tool because they're always doing weird kind of crap anyway.
Right. So as long as it's... That was what I said during when we were talking about it on the show. At this point, I am not certain that the Flaming Lips show was a proposal as to how rock concerts will be heretofore.
No, I wasn't saying that.
Just this is interesting performance art.
It's dystopian performance art.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there was nothing interesting at all about it.
Well,
I mean,
it's interesting. We're talking about it.
But to actually experience it, I'm saying, would not have been particularly interesting because you would not be having, you know, the typical concert experience of actually being able to have the same level of energy in a room because, well, the room was maybe 1/6 the population of what it normally would be because everybody had 6 feet, around them of essentially little ball space and they're standing alone.
So it's like 6 feet in diameter?
I would say at least a 6 foot in diameter because they were able to stand up.
Probably a 7 foot ball because people didn't have, when their heads weren't touching
right.
against it.
They're standing
up. That's when I was like, well, I'm 6 feet tall. So
let's call it 7.
Work?
Let's call it 7.
6 feet tall.
So anyway, let's call it 7. Plenty of space in between the people in these balls. And they're just there, like some of them are just dancing by themselves. In this little ball, and of course you've got whatever thickness of plastic in between you and the speakers. Now again, I'll normally put earplugs in, so maybe it was fine, but that's not acoustic plastic.
No,
like
not-
I come in there with the acoustic earplugs, so I can still hear the high ends of the concert.
Right,
this is just a plastic ball. Right, imagine trying to listen to your favorite band from behind the confines of. Thick plastic. However thick that stuff is. Right.
Well, I think that the people who did it wanted to have that experience in all likelihood, and they probably
they weren't there
like
against their will.
People asking about it. So it's interesting in so much as you can say I was there.
Yeah. Well, now the most recent study that the Germans did, they looked at concert venues and how to modify them. And so they were talking about, of course, having like the little 5 foot spaces between the little circles on the ground and that you could have your little concert space. And then the other person has their little concert space. And there was they recommended major changes to the ventilation systems like that would probably kill off a ton of venues if they had to like spend $300,000 or whatever renovating the ventilation system to be COVID compliant ventilation system. So a whole new industry there of unnecessary money being spent just to keep your business open. And so,
I mean, the movie industry took the first hit, but the next industry to go under is going to be the music industry, 100%,
yeah.
Because Spotify and torrenting and other streaming services have already killed their album sales.
Mm-hmm.
So they relied almost entirely upon live performances now, and now those no longer exist.
Yeah.
And watching one of these bands on your computer or on your television or whatever, it's not the same because they're not going to sound nearly as good coming through your soundbar, your surround sound system, as they would if you were there in person.
Well, the music industry is one of those industries, kind of like that the UBI people, the Universal Basic Income people, are right on. People will create music, even if it's not terribly profitable.
I didn't say music will go away. I said the music industry would go under.
Yeah, and Lord knows what it'll look like when it when it resurfaces. You know, is it just going to be MC Hammer selling CDs on the corner? I don't know.
Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's I think MC Hammer might already be on the corner selling CDs. I heard that he went bankrupt a few years ago, had to sell his mansion. We're coming up here, 855-450-FREE like freedom. You can join us on Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live, you bring up what you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Also, don't forget, you can join us online at freetalklive.com. And Free Talk Live brought to you by bitcoin.com. You want to get the latest headlines about cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, the upcoming potential Bitcoin Cash schism, which we'll certainly be talking about at some point in the next coming 5 days, because it's expected to happen, I think, was it Sunday? The 15th, whatever that is. So we'll tell you more about that, but you can go to news.bitcoin.com anytime you want to get the latest headlines about the world of crypto. That's news.bitcoin.com. We've been sharing with you the dismal news when it comes to the not just the recording industry and performing artists, but concerts in general, performances, live shows. Ticketmaster now saying that they're going to be requiring a clear COVID test, as well as, or I guess either a clear COVID test or proof that you've been vaccinated in order to gain entry to a show. So the plan is in early phases. They say the fans will have to use the Ticketmaster app in partnership with medical information firms and vaccine and testing distributors. Upon buying a ticket, fans would be required to either verify their vaccination status or prove they have tested negative for coronavirus within 72 hours prior to the concert dates.
It does sound like they're getting rid of paper tickets. If they're required to use the app, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, it also sounds like the vaccine passport is basically being, implemented from on high.
Mm-hmm.
Notice one thing they didn't say there is that that you could prove that you have had COVID. Right. So if you can prove you've had the vaccine, then presumably proving that you've had COVID is equally as valuable. Right.
Not if you can get reinfected or whatever. Right.
The vaccine. What evidence do we have at this point that the vaccine means that you can't get reinfected?
Mm hmm.
So
good point. We don't have any evidence about it.
Right.
It doesn't exist.
The vaccine's on at this point.
Well, there's dozens of them that are being tested, supposedly.
Right, but there's one that's supposedly being rolled out in the very near future.
Whichever one gave the government the most money or something like that.
I don't have any answers, but to me it sounds like sugar water.
Well, I'm not going to claim what is in these vaccines. In fact, that's one of the reasons why I think a lot of people are legitimately concerned with receiving some basically experimental drug. I mean,
it is. And every time they've rushed out vaccines in the past, the results have been catastrophic.
Really?
Wasn't there one of the other viruses? I don't recall exactly which one, the swine flu, the pig flu, the bird flu. One of these had a vaccine and it killed people.
Well, I don't know anything about that, but I do know that vaccine manufacturers are not responsible generally.
That's right.
Not
no liability
for it can't whatever be sued. Happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were just trying to help people.
Yeah.
And of course, it's mandated that you have to get this by law, but we're just trying to help people.
So according to this, after being tested, customers would authorize a lab to share their results with a health pass company.
There you go, health pass.
IBM, who weren't they involved with the Nazis back in the day?
I don't No.
Sounds like they're involved with the Nazis now.
Yeah. I think if you look up IBM's history, you'll find that they did some work with the Nazis. Or Clear. So apparently these are two companies that are offering a, quote, health pass. If one of the requirements is met, the health pass company would verify that information with Ticketmaster, which would then release tickets to the customer. So now the process of simply buying a concert ticket involves the medical authoritarian health state.
So do you think that this is where should the blame for all of this nonsense go? I haven't been to a concert that I would need to get a ticket for in well over a decade. Mm-hmm. I've been what they call social distancing on my own for so long that it's just a natural thing for me to do. Is this Ticketmaster, or is Ticketmaster simply being bent to the will of, you know, some group, you know, governments, presumably?
It's hard to say.
Those that claim to rule us.
I mean, they're not making money right now because no one's buying concert tickets because there are no concerts. It's in their best interest to do whatever they can to make concerts happen again as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. And these are probably the measures they decided are most likely to make that happen.
Yeah, I don't know, Mark. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say that the heads of these corporations are involved in shadowy meetings with the government, but they might be. But they certainly, the corporations are one of the tips of the spear. So you've got the police with the potential and actual threat of enforcement of these things like mask mandates or whatever, or lockdowns. But you also have the corporations that are doing a lot of the work on indoctrinating people about this. Because if there weren't a ton of corporate stores that everybody goes to, your Walmarts, your Targets, your, you know, Home Depots, all these things, even down to smaller stores.
The ones that get away with not requiring customers to wear a mask, while the local businesses are the ones who get hammered.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say anybody around here is being hammered. I don't know if anyone has even received a ticket yet in Keene, New Hampshire, despite the mask so-called mandate.
They haven't, but the city has certainly sent people into a number of places.
Oh, yeah. They've been intimidating.
Yeah.
That's true. Our local Indian place that we get food, he hadn't worn a mask almost the whole time, and then 2 weeks ago, he started putting a mask on, and he admitted that they had come in to threaten him.
Yeah, and you know, well, just because it's not happening in Keene doesn't mean it's not happening elsewhere. Cops are going in. Yeah.
Oh, in New York City? Oh, yeah. Miami, there's definitely like COVID cops, and they are definitely writing tickets in some places. There's no doubt. So,
are they writing tickets to the individuals or to the businesses?
Depends.
I'm opposed to both, but one of them is a bit worse than
the Miami cops are definitely writing tickets to individuals.
Okay.
I know that much. I know
that's less bad.
I know Catman, who's a friend of the show, he got a ticket out in California as well, and I wouldn't call that less bad. It's all bad because it's all targeting, you know, people.
Sure, but there
crap.
Are degrees of bad.
I don't know if it's worse to say you're targeting a business owner versus an individual. You're still targeting an individual either way.
I think it is because the business ends up being the law enforcer in that case.
Unpaid law enforcer. I would absolutely agree that targeting the individual is less bad because it empowers the individual to fight. Mm-hmm. Whereas the individual cannot fight when you go after the business.
Won't fight, yeah.
The business owner can't fight because their licensure is
on the
line.
Well, most of them won't. We know one locally who is fighting.
Whether they can or not, whether they will or not, they just can't, right?
Well, they can. They just aren't willing to. Well, as I said, we know one who is fighting locally.
Right.
Her name is Malaise. She owns fucking
God
Grape.
Bless Malaise. Yeah. What I'm trying to say is that if I walk into a Malaise's restaurant, Malaise tries to enforce the thing, and I say, no, I'm not going
to
wear a mask.
But she won't try to enforce it.
Well, okay. Somebody else's damn restaurant, Ian. I go into restaurant X, and I'm not wearing a mask, and I say, I'm not going to put a mask on.
Yeah.
Then the person's going to say, get out, and then they're absolutely right. Because it's trespassing. Whereas if the government, you know,
but they don't have to do that.
has a pair and then actually says, we're going to go after you, the individual, and I go into a restaurant and I say, I'm not going to wear a mask, call Johnny Law. Mm-hmm. At the very least, Johnny Law comes in, gives me a ticket, and then I can take it to court.
Yeah.
And then I can say, you know, make whatever constitutional arguments
one wishes.
No doubt.
There's a better path to defeat of that particular ordinance in that way, what you're talking about. But most of these business owners are going to do what they're told, and that's the worst part about this. If the business owners weren't such pussies, then, you know, we'd actually have a chance to stand up against this.
Right,
but unfortunately,
we don't even get to lead the way. right? I mean, you know, like what they want to see, what most people want to see is somebody leading the way and, you know, somebody to take the slings and arrows for them.
Right, because the reason why you've got business owners who are so obedient is because they perceive that's what their customers want. It's not just about what the government is demanding. It's because they know they've got all these customers who are deathly afraid of this COVID, even though it's, you know, ridiculous. And many of the business owners I've spoken with, they know it's ridiculous, but they won't take the mask off because they're afraid of the business. They're afraid of the government and they're afraid of their other customers.
So I almost never wear a mask into a restaurant. Mm-hmm. I'll usually have it in my pocket in case that there's some kind of issue. But I mean, the idea of enforcing the mask mandate between the front door and somebody getting sat down at a seat is absolutely ridiculous.
The whole thing is ridiculous.
But when I was down in Florida very recently, I was at the grocery store and I didn't put my mask on the entire time and nobody said boo.
Good for you.
They didn't even look.
What's the percentage of obedience down there?
Almost 100%.
100% obedience?
To masks?
Florida? Like inside restaurants?
No, I'm talking about we were talking about a grocery store.
In
grocery stores, that's almost 100% of people wearing.
I thought I'd heard that it was better down there.
Well,
people were saying Florida was better because the South and, you know, more people are more free or whatever. I don't know. That's too bad.
We're all from the South. We know that's nonsense.
Right. I mean, it's just at this point, it's become commonplace to wear a mask. That's what you're supposed to do, is to wear a mask when you go.
Because you're not a
store.
Good person if you don't wear a mask.
Well, that's what they say.
That's what they say. And enough people believe it that they, you know, even if they think it's personally BS, they don't want to be seen as a bad neighbor. So they go ahead and they mask up.
Right. Good folks everywhere.
And then they contribute to the problem. Then they're part of the problem. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And now Ticketmaster is going to be checking on your health care status in order to issue you a simple concert ticket. And this is just the beginning of how bad this is all going to get. This is Free Talk Live.
Look, I'm sorry, but you're in for a world of pain if you use Coinomi. The reason is their wallet doesn't support payments. The solution is simple. Let them hear your voice. Message Coinomi on Twitter, it takes 5 seconds, and tell them AnyPay sent you, because they're on the fence right now, and your voice will prove that people care about using Bitcoin for payments. Go tweet at Coinomi now, or even better, leave a review in the App Store. They really pay attention there. Thanks.
It is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want. And thanks to Gene the Christian Anarchist for posting in our On Air Now chat room on the Matrix server the link to an article, How IBM Helped the Nazis Carry Out the Holocaust. Because I had said that according to this article about Ticketmaster going to require a COVID test, a clear COVID test or evidence of a vaccine in order to sell you a concert ticket in the near future, it was IBM who was cited as one of these, quote, health pass companies, along with another company called Clear, in all capital letters. So now, in order to buy a simple concert ticket, you will have to somehow get this health pass thing from one of these corporations, these mega tech corporations, that will then link into your Ticketmaster app so Ticketmaster can know your business about what your health is, even though they're not supposed to know what your health is or whatever, because medical privacy. But they're going to know.
Well, at this point, any business could demand to have
have a COVID test
before getting in.
That's what they're doing.
Well, they're certainly doing that in countries. I mean, if you're traveling from one country to another, I've got to do some international traveling coming up here in the future, and I'm going to have to go get a COVID test.
If you're traveling from one state to another, Vermont is requiring quarantine for all, quote, non-essential travelers.
The state things, though, are a little wishy-washy. Whether they say it or not, they can't tell whether or not you're going to stop in Vermont.
Well, they're apparently, according to the story at WNYT, they are saying that plainclothes Vermont state troopers will be on the lookout starting Thursday for people entering the state at popular spots and stores. At this point, however, they say there is no formal enforcement policy in place. So they're just going to keep an eye on it.
There's a difference between traveling through Vermont and stopping off at a convenience store and getting a Gatorade.
Well, that's the question. What is the definition of traveling?
Right.
Am I traveling to Vermont if I go and shop at the Home Depot in Brattleboro?
A girl that I'm seeing lives in Brattleboro.
Mm-hmm. Are you traveling to Vermont if you go and see her once?
Not essentially.
Well, if you're not essential, you're not allowed, or you have to quarantine for 2 weeks, or quarantine for 1 week.
I'm allowed wherever I damn well want to go.
No doubt. But that won't stop the plainclothes Vermont state troopers from pulling you over and possibly making your life a living hell. According to the story here, you would either have to quarantine for 2 weeks, or if you get a negative COVID test, you still have to quarantine for a week.
And so, you know, this 2 weeks thing,
either of those,
is so ridiculous. I mean, the 2 week, most of people are showing within a week anyway, mm-hmm. That have COVID, if you actually had COVID. So you get a negative test and then you have to quarantine for a week.
That's what they're saying.
Ridiculous.
And they say the policy goes for all Vermonters who leave the state and then return. Does that include those who come over to Keene to go shopping?
You know, the idea that you can drive from Burlington to Brattleboro, which mm-hmm. is a couple of hours.
3 hours.
3 hours.
Least.
Yeah, 3 hours.
That's north to south.
Right. From Brattleboro to Burlington, mm-hmm. you can travel 3 hours. Everything's fine. However, if you travel
15 minutes or
20
minutes
outside of Brattleboro into Chesterfield, New Hampshire mm-hmm. on Route 9 to get a to go to the Walmart
yeah.
that's over in Hinsdale.
Right.
That if you go to the Walmart in Hinsdale to save a couple of bucks on whatever plastic crap from China you get, you've got to quarantine for 2 weeks. Yeah.
Shopping is considered essential, isn't it?
I don't know what these insane people say in their insane worlds.
Yeah, good point.
I think they say that shopping is essential.
Well, so, we're only going to know if it was essential shopping if we can go through your bags and see if you got essential items. Because remember, there are some items...
They could come
items,
back with an essential warrant. Right,
some items are essential while some are non-essential. Because remember, there's stores that were blocking off entire sections of things, saying that you couldn't even buy certain things.
Were there? I mean, this crap has been going on for such a long time. I don't remember all of the insane, yeah. asinine
this
measures.
This was going on recently
took.
In the UK. They had entire department stores yeah. blocking off huge shelves worth of items, including things like pots and pans,
right.
saying this
pots
is non-essential.
Food's essential, but pots and pans aren't.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just goes on and on and on, and people just keep putting up with it. While the details are still murky, the report says Ticketmaster would only receive verification of a customer's status and will not store or have access to medical records. All data sharing will be required to be in compliance with medical privacy laws. So you're fine. Don't worry. It's all.
But they will have access to medical records because they will know that you are COVID-free or have been vaccinated.
Correct.
That is a medical record.
Yeah.
Yep. Like other event companies, Ticketmaster has struggled as the coronavirus pandemic forced the cancellation. No, it was the government who forced the cancellation of or rescheduling of sports, concerts, and other events across Southern California and around the world. In April, the online ticketing giant initially offered refunds for events that were canceled, postponed, or rescheduled, but eventually clarified the site would only give refunds for canceled events. And a lot of events put off until 2021. They said, all right, well, we're not going to cancel or we're not going to have the event this year, but we're going to honor your tickets.
So you get a credit for a yeah. ticket for a concert from a year from now.
Next year.
After you find out the COVID, the Ticketmaster complies with all these things. You may be very upset about whatever, that's it.
Right. Guarantee you're not going to get a refund if you decide you don't want to jump through these hoops.
Because they'd go out of business if they gave those yeah. refunds.
And that's assuming that this is actually going to happen, that in 2021,
but those
concerts
will
actually return.
Yeah,
right.
I'm not convinced they will.
I'm not either. I mean, obviously, these businesses have to be optimistic and you know, do the best they can to get their customers to believe that this could be a thing in 2021. But I'm with you, Aria. We've seen what's happened here with venues that would normally have like a convention, for instance. They're not doing it. You can't. We had, what was it, Freedom Fest during the summertime. They canceled a week prior or less than a week prior to actually having the event because the rug got pulled out from under them.
Yep.
It's going to be very, very difficult to find a venue that's
Students
even willing.
Students for Liberty had their event canceled.
Yep, twice. Yeah. They had two events cancel. And
I mean, we are 10 months into a two-week lockdown.
Yep. Oh, but it's only going to be 2 more weeks because they said in the UK they want to have Christmas, so they're going into an intense lockdown, but it's only going to be 2 weeks. You believe them this time, right? Right?
I don't. No.
No.
I don't believe any of this stuff.
Let's go on. We've got Ingrid. She's on the line in Maryland. Ingrid, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey.
Hey, you're on the air.
Yeah, So I wanted to call in about jury nullification.
Okay, sure. Let's define it for our listeners that don't know. Do you want to?
Sure. So jury nullification is basically if you believe a law is unjust, you don't have to go with what the judge or what the law says. Like if you believe that, you know, selling drugs, you know, shouldn't be illegal, you can vote your conscience and say and vote not guilty.
Right. If you're sitting on the jury of a alleged drug dealer and they've got the evidence is clear, he sold the drugs. I mean, they got him on video. He's definitely sold some drugs to an undercover cop or whatever. You could still vote not guilty because your conscience says this is a bad law. That's what jury nullification is.
And I specifically want to bring that up because after I'd gone to New Hampshire to get Chris's stuff, I had, I don't know what it's called, but I was given like the documents to go for a jury, but I couldn't find them.
A summons, but a jury summons.
I did qualify for them, yeah.
So wait, you were summoned to a jury in Maryland where you live?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my mom called them up and said that I lost the documents, and then they were like, they didn't care, just to call in anyways. So with the COVID stuff, you know, if people don't qualify, you can just tell them that you lost the documents and you can still be served on a jury if you don't qualify.
So wait, so they said that even though you lost the documents, you can still move forward with this?
Yeah.
Okay.
They didn't care. They were like, you have to like call into the thing. So it's sometime the end of November I'm supposed to go.
And what is that going to look like? Because I know that around here, they've dramatically changed the way they do jury selection. I can tell you more about that, but I'm curious to what you know about how the process is.
I've never been on a jury before. My mom has, and she actually got them to acquit the guy because it was like a gun case. And then the teenagers, so like the gun was three different colors. One guy claimed that he had a purple gun. And she said, like, you know, she got the jury because they were like, they wanted to convict him. And she's like, no, we should vote not guilty. And then she got them to like,
wow,
acquit the guy.
That's amazing.
And then I had one boyfriend one time who was on the jury thing, but he was never called. And then when I worked for a law firm, actually one of the lawyers, like he would get summoned regularly. And then there was another coworker of mine. She was like, I don't know why they keep calling me because, you know, this is Baltimore City. And she's like, you know, I support the death penalty. My ex-husband's a cop. You know, I work
keep
for
her
law
off
firm.
The jury. Hey, yeah. Thanks for the call about that issue. We'll bring it up. We'll talk a little bit more about it coming up here in moments. I'll explain how they've changed. Talk Live, you dial in toll free, bring up whatever you want right here. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, you got Ian.
And Arya.
And Mark.
We're going to go back to your phone calls and thoughts. We've just been sadly talking about more of these crackdowns that appear to be getting worse out there, not better. Oh yeah, they were reopening and now they've, quote, paused the reopenings and or rewound the reopenings. And I love how they just the news media when reporting on San Francisco here at where they literally just reopened indoor dining rooms in San Francisco, and now they're not going to be allowing that anymore. It was actually at the end of September that they reopened only to 25% capacity.
Wow.
The indoor dining in San Francisco.
I mean, they're basically just trying to kill business.
Yep.
I mean, how can they survive?
And now the term is, for San Francisco, is pausing reopening. As though we're just hitting pause. It's no big deal. We're pausing. No big deal. Just pause.
Right. And there's no subsidy for these businesses that are, you know, I mean, being shut down. What about the landlords? Either the business is continuing to pay their rent.
Nah, they're not. A lot of them
which
aren't.
They can't possibly. Nope. Or the, so what about the landlords? What about
Screwed.
The mortgages? What's going on?
I don't know. How are you going to pay property taxes if you can't collect rent?
It'll be interesting to see if the restaurant owners and the bar owners and all of these actually comply with a second lockdown. Because at this point,
San
they
Francisco.
Have to be getting to the point where they don't have anything left to lose.
Yeah, but it's San Francisco. I mean,
yeah, they were only open at 25% in the first place. So.
And that was only at the end of September. So right. It was a month that they were open at 25%.
And how many San Francisco residents would actually go to a bar anyway?
That's the thing. And that is that was an issue when we saw reopenings, quote, reopenings in Georgia, the first state to supposedly do it. A lot of the owners were saying they wouldn't want to reopen because their customers would be angry at them for reopening.
Yeah, I mean, this is just, you know, the businesses that want to flee have fled.
Yeah.
And now you're, you know, in this majority sort of, you know, lunatic area. And what are you going
to
do?
Let's go to the phones and to your calls and thoughts. Turd Ferguson is on the line in Pennsylvania. Turd, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, so I just wanted to actually say something about Amaranth on Twitch right now, because
Amaranth is a female Twitch, Twitch being the online streaming, video streaming platform. We stream there, for instance, over at twitch.lrn.fm. She's a Twitch hottie. She's one of these girls that basically, like, does... I saw her one time when somebody linked to her in the chat. She was doing, like, Twister by herself or something like that, so she sort of... you know, shows off her body, basically, and gets donations from thirsty guys. Is that pretty much the gig?
Well, yeah, except, well, that's even a step up, because at least she was, if she was doing Twister before, that's even a step up, because she's not doing anything now. Because right now, because I've got her actually pulled up my laptop right now, and all she's doing nothing. She's just rubbing the microphone, and
okay.
And she's rubbing a really hot condenser microphone.
Don't they call that ASMR? And I don't remember what that stands for, but it's like where you whisper and like rub on a microphone and people get really weird about it. Like they're really into
it. It's funny you mentioned that's what she actually has in her description right now. ASMR.
That's
what it is.
I don't
know what that means. But dude,
I'll find it
there
for you.
Okay. This is obviously highly addictive. I mean, what these Twitch girls are doing, and her.
Meaning, hold on. When you say it's highly addictive, you mean you're addicted to watching her rub the microphone?
Not well. I don't think I personally am, but I think other people are. There are 4,000 people watching this right now.
Sure. Well, I mean, she's a very popular streamer. I mean, basically, this girl can turn on a webcam, and thousands of people will watch her do anything. I mean, they'd probably watch her squeeze out a dump on the toilet. If they let that happen on Twitch.
And most of them probably are not paying. I mean, the content on Twitch is generally free.
Correct.
Yeah, but a lot of them are paying. And look,
good for her.
Ian, what you're saying right now is proof of my point that this is addictive. This person could do anything, and it would trigger the amount of dopamine in at least enough of these people's minds that she can make a good living off this.
I'm pretty sure she makes a good living off of it. I mean, she's a very popular and pretty girl.
Yeah, it fascinates me, these gals that can do the Instagram, just take some pictures that are basically softcore pornography.
Right, what and we call, the donations
what we,
come
what
in.
What we used to call cheesecake, which doesn't show anything that...
Yeah.
Doesn't show the parts that are important, but shows every other part.
Non-nudes, as they are called. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what is your issue with it, Turd Ferguson?
I don't have an issue with, I mean, I don't think it should be illegal, obviously, but my only issue with it is that it's obviously highly addictive. And I'm sitting here, like, even me.
Well, we discussed this last night. Just about everything is addictive.
Well, if it's pleasurable. Right.
Well, it's addictive if it's going to change your brain chemistry while you're using it. And I, just being a very self-aware recovered drug addict and, like, sitting here watching this, I'm even myself like having a hard time turning this off. Like
even though there's nothing happening.
Is it the ASMR?
Yeah, even though there's nothing happening.
The rubbing of the microphone, or is it the pretty girl?
Yeah, well, it's like being hypnotized. It's like the same.
She's hypnotizing you with her feminine charm as she touches the microphone.
I'm still not clear. If I rolled out a fat neck beard that was rubbing on a microphone,
do it right now, Mark.
Would you be? I'm not terribly fat.
No, Mark. It's not going to. I'm telling you, it's not going to trigger the dopamine response.
Okay, so hot women have been a mainstay of television since they could manage to get the first person to watch it.
Yeah. Well, here's the difference. They didn't in the days of I Love Lucy and Degrassi, The Next Generation, and all those other.
Elizabeth Montgomery deserves a mention here.
They didn't sit right in front of the camera, like half naked, like intimately, like whispering into really hot condenser.
Well, right. I mean,
I don't know about you, but it sounds like content has improved. The girls have had Lucy.
Yeah. Well, obviously, there's more options
Lucille
out there.
Lucille Ball is an absolute comic genius, but
okay. But there's more options.
Okay, but is she half naked doing that?
Okay, so I've just tuned her in here, and she's got a humongous set of breasts and showing off a lot of cleavage.
Yeah, she's an attractive woman.
She's just sitting with her legs spread, but there's a blanket or something over top of her legs right now.
Dude, that is the life. If you can just sit there
and get paid for this.
And get paid for that.
Yeah.
She does this 2 hours a day. She probably makes thousands of dollars a week.
3,900 plus people watching this happen live, and what is she doing? She's blowing on... Oh, wait, are those? I think the blanket's actually covering the microphone. I don't know if I want to actually. Is she profane?
We should unmute it.
Do not do that.
She has two condenser microphones. That's what it is. She has two condenser microphones set up as a left and a right stereo pair, so everyone can capture the full 100 radial.
I mean, look, this
girl,
doing,
like,
she's
rubbing
just,
her thighs together or what?
She's just exploiting men's desire to look at a hot chick.
Totally.
I don't see any issue whatsoever with this, man.
So she's got, right now, she's got a goal. She's trying to raise money, right? So she's got a goal of 25, what they call subs, and that's short for subscriptions. Oh. She's already gotten 108 out of 25, apparently.
So $5 a pop, that's pretty good.
Well, man, they are submissives as well, in a way. There's more coming up here in moments. Turd's going to have a tough time.
She's a purebred orange and white Brittany, but when we adopted April, she started scratching like crazy. I said, what you put into a dog is what you get out. DINOVITE.com. So we added a huge scoop of Dynavite in her bowl. She licked it clean. She loved it. Her coat is now soft. It's silky. Dynavite is nutrition.
You get some Dynavite. How happy your dog will be.
A Dynavite. She's Little Miss Hollywood. DINOVITE.com.
It is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. And Turd Ferguson has done that. He has changed the conversation. That is how this show works. If only more people would actually do it. You know, the amount of participation we have compared to the listeners that we have is very small. So if you ever want to call the show and bring up anything, like some hot chick on Twitch doing what they call ASMR, which I will get a definition for you here. I didn't do that in the last segment.
Yeah, I'm curious what that stands for. I'm into some weird stuff, but I've never heard of this.
You've never heard of this?
No.
And I'm surprised by that. Renee, my ex, is actually in the room with us here. We came across this a few years ago. It was on the React channel, if I recall correctly, and it was this is one of these channels on YouTube. It's very popular, right? Millions of subscribers, and they have people react to videos usually, or like stimulation or whatever. And so they had this ASMR episode where people were putting on headphones, and they were given like a warning in advance, and they were told that this could make you feel very strange. And so, like, they were, you know, there was all this build
prepped
around it. And they recommended to the people that were watching the video at home to put headphones on to have the proper experience of whatever this was. And so here's what it stands for. According to sleep.org, ASMR stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response, which is a still relatively new creation, they say. It describes a feeling of euphoric tingling and relaxation that can come over someone when he or she watches certain videos or hears certain sounds. What kind of visual or audio clips can create such a lovely feeling? It might surprise you, but the videos are of people doing incredibly simple, quiet, calming tasks, such as folding towels, brushing their hair, or flipping magazine pages. You might hear someone's voice speaking in the background of the video, but not always. The audio clips often consist of voices whispering nice things, like, you are appreciated, or contain the sound of tapping, scratching, or rain.
I have a friend, I know somebody from Sarasota who moved on to become a chiropractic doctor, and essentially she made her business by doing this ASMR stuff with back like cracking, joint cracking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people would just tune into her videos to listen to the cracking of joints. And she would do anything from like ears to spines and fingers and knees and pop everything.
Hmm.
And people would just, you know, they just wanted to hear that noise. And, you know,
they're just fascinated.
Now
by
she's
it, right?
Now her business is blown up. She's huge. You can't even go visit her regularly. You can only go in for like a one visit. And it's big bucks.
Wow. So I did tune into the feed. Turd Ferguson had called to alert us to this. Her name is Amaranth, and she's a very popular Twitch. I think she played video games at some point or something like
if
that.
If she's calling herself Amaranth, she certainly has, because that's the name of a character in Final Fantasy IX.
Yeah, you can hear now she's rubbing some sort of thing. She's got some kind of a thing that she's rubbing on the microphone. The microphone, of course, has like a foamy, you know, baffle on it,
yeah.
And she's rubbing a thing against that, and it's making that noise.
Friction
and
noise.
This lady has gotten 109 out of 25 subscriptions tonight, meaning she's four times what her goal was in order to do more ASMR. So people are literally throwing money at a hot chick who's doing nothing more than, like, tapping and rubbing
a towel on a microphone.
Yeah, rubbing towels and, you know, other things on microphones. And, you know, it's fascinating that this is so interesting to people, because to me, I remember when we first watched this video on this React, we're like, all right, what's going to happen here? What's this about? And I didn't have any kind of reaction like they described. It was supposed to like make your scalp tingle, or like supposed to be like some weird sensation.
Yeah, placebos do that.
But the only reaction I'm having is, yeah, how hot she is.
I mean, she is foxy. There's no doubt about it. I suspect that's 99% of her success here. But that said, this whole ASMR thing is a bit of a success story.
It's a phenom.
Yeah. It's a more recent phenomenon. And I mean, the fact that you can have thousands of people who are actually into this, what does it say?
Are they into this, or are they into watching her?
I think both in this particular case. But there are people who do seek out just plain ASMR. From what I understand, there are ASMR producers who don't, you know, show off their breasts while they're, you know, while they're doing these performances. So it's interesting. We'll bring Turd Ferguson back on here. Any final thoughts on this, Turd? You're still, I imagine, locked to the channel.
I had to turn it off because I found myself getting hypnotized by this stuff, and it's obviously, I mean, the same thing that's happening to your brain when you use drugs is happening when you watch Amaranth rub the microphone like this, obviously. And you said you touched
what
on
what kind
a
of drugs
really
were you on?
Yeah, boring drugs.
Yeah.
Now she's getting out some food, and is she going to chew into the microphone now? Is that what's coming next? She's got her chopsticks out.
I think I've already put my finger on a few points of her success, and for a lot of the listeners who are,
I don't suspect you've been anywhere near her points of success.
I haven't, but I
suspect she has primarily two of them.
2 points of success.
Well, here's another thing she does. But I mean, she's got, I mean, for just so the listeners know, she's got these two huge, large diaphragm, hot condenser microphones, and every once in a while she'll go up and like whisper into
them.
Why
does this bother you so much, dude?
Well, I'm just saying this it doesn't bother me. I'm just saying this is part of the experience. And when she whispers into this, the high frequencies of this woman's voice are like so intimate in your ears that it's part of the whole addictive experience of it. It's
for every guy who's never had a woman whisper anything into their ears. This is the closest that they can get to it.
Jesus, that's sad.
Thank you for the call tonight, Turd. I appreciate it. And now she's literally stirring up her Chinese food near the microphone.
I've got to give her more and more props the more of this goes on. I mean,
she's shaking right now. She's shaking like a salt shaker. So
if she doesn't chew with her mouth closed, I'm going to freak out.
She is getting her dinner ready, and people are paying to watch her do this.
Yep.
Props to her.
And the chat room is just going, you know, there's people just typing all over the place in here. So now she's like tapping, making tapping noises, whispering into the microphones. I mean, this is it.
And
she'll
just
go on for hours.
This is amazing. I can't believe that anyone would pay to watch this.
I'm gonna eat my dinner now, suckers.
And I bet you somebody ordered the food for her too. I'm willing to bet one of these guys in this chat room.
If any of these guys had her address, she better have bodyguards.
Oh yeah, I imagine she takes her security somewhat seriously, and she's definitely been doing this sort of thing for a long time. Bad Slave is back on the line with us here, real fast. Bad Slave, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello. Bad Slave, going once, final chance. He tried twice, didn't work out twice, so it was a good shot there. So here she is eating.
She's literally just eating.
It's so quiet, I have to turn it up all the way, and even then it's hard to hear it.
Do we want to hear her eating?
No, that's all that she's doing. She's literally just shoving her face full of food.
She's using chopsticks to shove American Chinese food in her mouth.
And people are loving it.
Chat in the chat room. So this is it. This is how it all ends, guys. I mean, people don't care.
Entertainment has devolved into people playing video games and hot women chewing and sports bras.
I mean, Idiocracy wasn't far off. The movie Idiocracy from, what was it, 20-something years ago at this point? Very prophetic.
Ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't an instruction manual. It was a warning.
Yeah. That's, wow.
I don't know what to say about it all.
But, Mark, tell us who we've got coming up in the final segment. You've got a special interview that's going to tie in with the bulk of the show tonight until this topic.
A YouTube performer named Ivor Cummins. Cummins. And he's from Ireland. And he's basically digs into the COVID numbers worldwide, talks about them. His conclusions that he comes to are that that lockdowns are basically useless, and that masks are only marginally useful, and all this stuff is basically pointless, that the world has lost its mind.
That's coming up in the final segment, so stay tuned. And then you'll get part two of that if you download the show tonight, the archive.
Yeah, you got to download the archive to get part two.
At freetalklive.com and join us online. This is Free Talk Live.
All right, it's another edition of the Edge Post Show. I am Mark. Edge, coming to you from Free Talk Live. Today I have with me a special guest, one of these YouTube stars you've all heard about. His name is Ivor Cummins. Ivor, are you there?
Yeah, Mark. Great to be here.
Whence do you come?
I'm in Dublin, Ireland, pretty much here all my life.
And you've been keeping a close eye on, you do statistics, right? And you've been keeping a close eye on the COVID numbers. I'm just kind of curious as to some of the things you might have figured out.
Right, yeah. Well, since late March when the lockdown started coming in everywhere, I kind of got really interested because I work in metabolic health and lecturing at medical and metabolic health conferences. But in March, the lockdowns happened, everything got cancelled, and I began to look in and got really interested. So I had already made a cut from the China data and from the Diamond Princess cruise ship, which was elderly people. I'd already made a cut in my head that the impact would be like a severe flu. But it would also be seasonal because I checked it out and coronaviruses are strongly seasonal, especially in Northern Europe and North America, Northeast and all. So I said, okay, this is going to hit pretty hard, elderly people with maybe diabetes and obesity and these kinds of problems. So it's going to be nasty. But I figured the lockdowns were driven by fear. And, you know, May or so, things would all level off. The hospitals would empty, the summer would come in, and the lockdowns would all go away. But that didn't happen. So I stayed on the research of this ever since.
So, you brought up a lot of things that are sort of important regarding this. Obviously, we all got super scared back in March. You know, they stuck us all to the ceiling. And then, the numbers were climbing there as far as deaths went. Another thing that seemed to be happening even very early on was the political football aspect of this. I don't know what it's like over there in Ireland, but I can tell you that, you know, here in the United States, it was like the Democrats were like, shut everything down. And the Republicans are like, hey, hold on. The economy is important, too. And, I don't like to pick between these two particular piles of poo, but I did during this whole pandemic. And I can tell you, Facebook friends dropped off just by me saying that it was a political football, not me saying which side of the political football I'm going for, but that the fact that people were that it was a political football. People are like, yeah, I can't believe you're doing this, you know, just exposing that, not that sort of point.
Yeah, that's crazy stuff. And I stay out of the politics, especially U.S. politics, obviously.
Yeah, you
should. But yeah, that's a bizarre thing that happened in America. But in Europe, There isn't really that. The bizarre thing in Europe is everyone kind of backed ongoing lockdowns in the face of the science. So Europe didn't have this divide. Opposition parties ran with it. Everyone ran with it. It was just bizarre to watch. And like, we have since May, late April through May and June, the modeling that was used to look at how many people could die was out by a factor of 10 to 12. That's established, in fact, now.
Yep.
The Imperial College and IHME in America. But no one cared. And there's around 10 or 12 published analyses now, which show clearly that lockdown has a very minimal effect on mortality in countries. And that's kind of established fact now, but no one cares.
Yeah, I mean,
no one cares about the actual analysis. And they're all living in the past from when the modeling said it would explode.
Right. It seems like it's interesting that they continue to hold on to this really awful thing that we're doing to each other. Is it sort of a self-flagellation penance thing that humans believe that if we just make ourselves suffer enough, that God will take this this plague from us?
Well, that's the thing. I think there's two levels of what's driving this thing. One is in country and in the psychology of the people in a country. They fear got the best of them, and they're all wrapped up in a kind of psychosis now. But the politicians are fueling it, and the academics on the panels in the countries driving policy are still using modeling, and they're fueling it. So everyone's fueling fear in a big, big kind of feedback loop of horror. And then the other thing is the WHO and a lot of worldwide powerful bodies are also pouring petrol on the fire, and they have been for 6 months. So between those two engines, it's like everyone wants to be terrified, and they all believe that lockdowns are the way to help people. God bless them. But we know from the study and the research and from the analysis, that's not really the case. So we should just accept it's a nasty virus. It hit in a big epidemic and came down naturally. And now in the winter, we're going to get a smaller but a substantial resurgence of the virus. But we should be blaming the virus. But the problem is our intervention to help is going to cause way more suffering and death than the virus. By a mile.
And at this point,
20 miles.
We don't know what the we know what the deaths are, but we don't know how many of them are what we're being labeled as deaths of despair. So you're talking about, you know, alcohol poisoning, drug overdoses, suicides, domestic homicides, and, you know, a whole bunch of other things that may have occurred. Nobody's starving to death in America, I can assure you of that. But I mean, in other countries, they may very well be getting fewer calories than they would be otherwise with these lockdowns. So we don't know how many are COVID deaths and how many are deaths of despair. I can assure you the COVID people say every single additional death is a COVID death. And some of the ones that aren't additional are COVID deaths, too. But one thing I want is you've made the statement, the sort of positive statement, that lockdowns don't work or don't have much effect. Can you much positive effect? Can you throw a few facts out that, you know, back that up?
Yeah, well, a publication in The Lancet, no less, back in June or July, came out with a clear statement, and they looked at around 50 countries, and they said there is no correlation or linkage between lockdown or lockdown severity and deaths per million for across all the countries. So they went on the record, and we had a Woods Hole Institute in late April, did a European analysis, same result. And we have many, many preprints in different journals or online, and they all come to the same result. It just doesn't really correlate. So it might flatten the curve a little for your hospitals if you're truly overloaded. So an emergency measure if your hospitals will be overwhelmed. However, it became a default measure for to be doing something. But the damage, I can tell you, that I think again in The Lancet, there's a paper out a couple of months ago now, top journal, and they show that around 200,000 extra deaths for the UK could be expected due to the lockdowns, right? And the saved deaths are going to be a tiny fraction of that. They had 50,000 deaths total. They might have saved, I don't know, some number of thousands, but 200,000 is coming. And a million life years, quality life years, will be lost, driven by the lockdown. But the life years saved is going to be a tiny fraction of that, because the average age of death in England is higher than the average mortality age for the country.
Right. That's an amazing thing about this, is that here in the United States, this was also true, at least at one point. I've heard that it's come down a little bit, but at one point, the median age for COVID during the big scary part was 80. The average age of death in the United States is 78, meaning that COVID was pulling up the average age of death. I mean, you know, what's the emergency here? Also, you know, who's COVID killing? Best I can tell, it's people who, you know, obesity and diabetes are strongly correlated, you know, and a variety of, I mean, you know, if you're killing obese 80-year-olds, how long did they have?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. I mean, Professor Michael Levitt, the Nobel Prize winner from Stanford, who called this in February from the China and Diamond Princess data, he said the modeling is out by a factor of 10 to 12. He was entirely correct. And he said instead of losing on average, like I think it was 9 months of life, it's more like COVID brings 3 weeks of extra risk of death to your standard year's risk this year. So that's an average. But the upshot of it is, yeah, there is life lost. We saw that. It's a real virus. It's nasty. But once the epidemic passes in a region, you're just going to get an endemic winter resurgence in most regions. And after that, it's over.
I have some.
So unfortunately, by the time the vaccine comes, to a large extent, the impact has passed. And it's an endemic virus now.
This vaccine looks so much like a totem to me, a good luck charm, as it were. I mean, I don't know what else to call it. I know that the flu vaccine is generally about 18 months out, they begin trying to determine which flu is going to be the flu that is going to be so bad come next year. And I understand you're not supposed to say flu and COVID in the same sentence, because otherwise you love Orange Hitler. But, you know, I mean, let's not get crazy here for a second. The flu vaccine generally, not always, but generally, is just of no use. You can get it, and it's not, and as a prophylactic, it's not a particular problem, but a lot of people have reactions to it. So if you're going to have, you know, be sick for 4 days from taking a flu vaccine for a bug that you're not going to get, what was the point of that? You know, people think they get the flu from the flu vaccine. They don't get the flu from the flu vaccine. They're having an allergic reaction to a vac. For those that want to find the rest of this, go to archives.freetalklive.com. Look for Ivar Cummins. You can get the rest of this interview. Ivar, I'm terribly sorry for interrupting you. Can you start back where you were?
Oh, right, yeah. I thought it was something. I thought my sound disappeared. Okay. So, yeah, I was saying about the flu vaccine. So, you know, there's published papers looking at the efficacy, and there's one that tracked around 28 years of flu vaccination increasing from a few percent of people up to 60% or more in recent years. And they did all the advanced analysis to see, well, how much did it impact elderly fatality? And they found it didn't really significantly impact it. So, I mean, it's going to have a positive effect, but you could argue, well, you know, is it really worth it as a mass medication? So I never took it. But the flu vaccination, some years it's very ineffective, and they've developed it for many decades. This one is the first ever coronavirus vaccine.
Right.
And an outfit in the UK spent 35 years trying to develop a vaccine. Eventually, the unit was closed. It was a government unit. They just gave up. So, I mean, given that there's a 6-year cycle to safely develop a vaccine, and this is 8 or 9 months, and it's for one that they never achieved success before, and you add it all together, and it's for last year's kind of respiratory season illness, kind of. I mean, you just add it all up. I'd say it'll cost millions of dollars per life year saved. So it'll be way higher cost than any country's medical system would ever sign off on.
Yeah, and that's if it works.
I just don't understand it.
Right. If it works. Because at this point, what we know is that the common cold is, it's a several different things. But among those things is the coronavirus. We know about coronaviruses. Coronaviruses aren't novel. The novel COVID-19 virus seems to be a particularly bad coronavirus. And you could then for call it a very bad cold if you wanted to. I don't know whether that's kind of a jump in logic, but not entirely outside the pale. But it makes sense. I mean, if you just throw a bunch of viruses out there, one of them's going to be super bad. And here it came. And, you know, no one's saying that people didn't die. No one's saying this is fake. No one's saying, you know, anything. Was it created in a lab in China? I have no idea whether it was. Did it get from somebody eating a bat? That seems like a strange thing, but fine. Maybe. I don't know. But it seems like people are saying a lot of things.
People all wanted me to get into that and all this China lab stuff. And to be honest, I don't care because, like you, it's here now. Yes, humans can make these viruses that we have the technology. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. It doesn't really matter anymore. But the reality is that in Europe, this respiratory season with corona hitting, and it was nasty, is around 40% higher excess mortality than 2018 respiratory season in Europe. So, yes, it's a tough respiratory season, and the impact occurred in 6 or 7 weeks instead of spread over 4 or 5 months like the influenzas do, different strains. So short and sharp, it caused a lot of dramatic impacts on the television. But the reality is, yeah, it's like a very bad flu. And the WHO, the World Health Organization themselves, said that they estimate 780 million have had it. And we know how many deaths there have been. So they're putting the infection fatality rate really at 0.13%, which is in the envelope of a very bad flu season. So it's okay to compare it with the flu. Just it's not okay to say this is just like an ordinary flu. But it is okay to say this is in the envelope of a very bad flu. And that's very fair. I mean, that's what it is.
It seems like, you know, humans like to compare. That's what the species does. You know, like this plant looks like this plant. Maybe they're both edible. Maybe the one is edible, maybe the other one is. You know, like that kind of thing. I mean, you know, that's how we learn to do things. Comparisons are good. And so if you want to make comparisons, it's good. It's fine. It's just an analogy. I have one more question about lockdowns. You've said that they were basically ineffective. You've given a little bit of room, but not a lot of room. What about self-quarantining? Quarantine might not be the right word. Self-isolating for old people who are afraid that this is going to affect them. You know, say I'm 80, fat, and have diabetes. Should I just be locking down?
Well, yeah, the whole isolating thing is tricky. So the WHO 2019 guidelines, bang up to date, they said no quarantine and no isolation at all should be used unless maybe you're symptomatic. And then they changed all the rules and copied China in February. But for elderly people, Sweden, who followed the traditional pandemic guidelines of the WHO up to the end of 19, that's all Sweden did. They just followed our historical knowledge on pandemics, and everyone else went crazy, I think. But Sweden did isolate the elderly for the period where the epidemic was ongoing and severe. But then they began to open up again. So if you're in the summer in northern temperate region and there's really not much going on with corona, you're free to go about your business. And if you get into the winter and it turns out there's a fairly strong resurgence, then you got to start thinking about elderly and at risk can pull back from society, totally supported by society, of course. And for around 1,000 of the cost of the lockdowns in society, we could pay for 5-star hotels for the people who are at risk.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
And one last thing, and this is a real killer. There's a paper in the British Medical Journal, a study on all of this lockdown, and another one just released. And they both say from analyzing the data that actually locking down may flatten the curve, but at the cost of more COVID deaths long term. So for complex reasons, if you lock down everybody rather than just isolate the at risk, when you include next season and longer term, you'll end up with more dead people from COVID. And that's not even counting the enormous suffering and death non-COVID caused by lockdowns, which are just truly shocking. You'll also get more COVID deaths. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah, indeed. So that leaves me one more question about sort of lockdowns or the opposite of lockdowns. Is it good that people who are under the age of, say, 60, I'm just going to pick a, I'm calling 60-year-olds young here. is it good that 60-year-olds and younger go about their business and catch COVID-19?
In principle, yes, that would be like the two papers I just mentioned would suggest that very thing. Because if you increase mobility or allow normal mobility in people who are not really at risk, you will allow them to develop immunity, and that will keep granny and grandpa safe in the winter. You will be doing your bit to save granny by doing that. Ironically, by lowering and locking down the healthy, you are lengthening out the virus's impact and technically maximizing elderly deaths, which is very sad.
It is. Indeed, it is. So let's go on to masks. You got any stats on masks? I mean, you know, we're all running around with masks and pretty much everywhere. Now, personally, in my life, I'm home most of the time. And if I'm not home, I'm in my radio studio where, you know, my business partner is just rabidly anti-mask, you know, generally. So I get out of my car. I put my mask in my pocket. I go into whatever the store is or restaurant is, and I have it. If they ask me to put it on, I will put it on. If they don't ask me to put it on, I just walk around like everything's fine. Because I got to say, I don't know what it's like there in Ireland, but I can tell you here in the United States, we'd have this ridiculous ritual where you say you walk into the pizza joint. You should have your mask on as you enter the door. And, you know, you make your order while you're standing. Basically, you must have your mask on. And but while you're sitting, you may have your mask off because, of course, there's a beverage sitting in front of you and that sucks all the corona into it or something. I don't know. It's just it's insane that somehow we can gather with masks off as long as we're seated.
Yeah, this is the theater of the absurd. And when you go against 40 years of published science, which said pretty much that masks are near worthless, if not there's concerns with hygiene and making the problem worse. When you dump 4 decades of science that pretty much said that, and you go with 4 weeks of very weak science, June 2020, and decide to make masks mandatory, expect some absurdity to come out of it because science was never done that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you see, these lunatic rules. And it's just profoundly unscientific. So apparently we were waiting for months. A Danish-Denmark study, finally someone did a COVID-19 study with masks and randomized to not wearing and wearing. And 2 months ago, they finished the study, got the results. And guess what? They said, we're waiting for a journal brave enough to publish it. Otherwise, we can't publish. Yeah. No journal wants it. You know why. You know why. Because they got the wrong result. In a randomized trial, they found out masks were useless or less than useless, and no one will publish it.
That is
so science. That's censorship, basically.
That's a fascinating commentary on what science has become in the world. I mean, you know, there a science journal should not be afraid to publish a study, no matter what the results are. Clearly, they wouldn't be afraid to publish it as, you know, by saying if a mask increases, you know, your chances of not dying by 3 times or something like that. But if it means that it's just basically meaningless, then, well, that's interesting stuff. OK, so one last thing. Looking at the data and these sorts of things, what can we expect to happen this year? I mean, and when can we expect it to happen?
Yeah, it depends on the region, to be quite honest, Mark, because like in Northern Europe, we're seeing the expected, which we predicted back in April, by the way, well, people like me, the WHO said it's not seasonal. They came out in July and said it's not seasonal. And I thought, wow, it's obviously seasonal. The data's in. And now you come out and say it's not. So that's weird. But sure enough, come September, October, we got an increase in prevalence. And we have an increase, sadly, in mortality, some of whom, you know, have PCR positive. So there's a lot of excitement again.
What is PCR positive?
The test is the PCR test for SARS-CoV-2. So the PCR test has a huge amount of problems. So in the winter, I'd expect we'll see in regions the normal excess mortality associated with a winter. I think we're going to see roughly that, like other winters before. The epidemic ended, and now we've got endemic winter season excess mortality. And this year's virus is SARS-CoV-2. The influenzas have been kicked out of the system. And we see that in the literature previous years. A new influenza strain comes in, and an old one just disappears, and you never see it again. So the viruses interact. So this year, I think we're going to see expected winter excess mortality in the places that have already had SARS earlier. But this year, we won't treat it like excess mortality in the winter. We'll treat it like a panic. And that's the difference.
Why is it that people are deciding? I don't even know how to phrase this question in a fair way. So I'll just phrase it and you decide. Presume I'm trying to be fair. On one hand, people say, listen to the experts. But on the other hand, they don't want to listen to any experts. They only want to listen to the experts that they want to listen to. They determine in their own mind who the experts are, and they appear to determine them based entirely on the fact that those experts will say the things that they want to hear for this. And that I don't even know how to say anything about that.
Yeah, well, essentially, if you're very scientific, that will never apply, because you'll always be questioning, and you'll actually seek out the experts who say the opposite of you to test, are you correct in your thoughts?
That's the way smart people think.
Yes. However, what we've got now is mass cognitive dissonance, even amongst scientists, never mind the public. The media have been screaming panic for 8 months now. Everyone is in a state of terror, in a sense, and they all believe it. So any expert who says, hold on, guys, it's got the impact of a severe flu. The season will have an excess mortality, not hugely different than bad seasons in the past 10, 20 years. And just relax a little and let's focus on protecting the elderly and the most at risk. People don't want to hear that anymore because they believe they're living in Armageddon. And they believe it, and believe as in ideology, as in religion. So anyone who tries to calm them down, they'll actually resent them. And this is where we are.
I don't know what to do about it. Ivor, will you plug your YouTube channel so that people can go and find out, you really dig into the numbers. You've just given us the very broad strokes here, and I really appreciate your time in doing it. And I'd love you to come back in a month or two and update us on whatever's going on, because people want to keep in touch on this. But let people know your YouTube videos so they can dig in a little further.
Yeah, great. No, thanks, Mark. The name Ivor Cummins, it'll be in your show notes. If you just search engine that, you'll hit my YouTube channel very quickly. And there's a September 8th crucial update that got 1.6 million views. And that's a 35-minuter that covers a lot of the seasonality, the actual impact level. It explains Sweden. So that one's a good one to start. But my timeline on YouTube, my video, you'll see from the titles, a lot of it's around this, and it keeps getting updated. So loads there to watch.
Yeah, well, actually, when it comes to link descriptions, this is something that YouTube really has that's great, as opposed to, nationally syndicated radio like you're going to be on. So people are driving around in their cars, and I just have to pound that name, Ivor Cummins, so that they can go get it. So, excellent. Thank you great. For your time.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Till next time. Bye.
What if the United States and the Soviet Union had fought on land, sea, air, and the astral plane, struggled for dominion across parallel dimensions or on the surface of the moon? What wonders would have been unveiled? What terrors would have haunted mankind from those dark and dismal dimensions? Come closer, peer through a glass darkly, and discover the horrifying alternative visions of World War III from some of today's greatest minds in science fiction, fantasy, and horror. Weird World War III. Available now from Bane Books at banebooks.com.
Attention gardeners, if you need to grow nutritionally dense vegetables or medicinal herbs this year, listen, because a bioactive superfood for plants is now available. This all-natural superfood for plants is so effective at producing maximum plant growth in minimum time that it almost forces plants to grow, even under the worst light and soil conditions. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's truly remarkable. Vegetables grow faster and contain more bioavailable vitamins and trace minerals. Plants that rarely bloom will flower constantly. Sickly plants become vibrantly alive. Medicinal herbs become super potent. Flowers become more vivid right before your very eyes. ProtoGrow also improves the taste quality of all your garden vegetables. That's because it's more than just an all-natural superfood for plants. It's a proprietary blend of bioactive sea nutrients that contain the basic building blocks of life itself, which is why ProtoGrow even renews your garden by increasing the microorganisms in the soil. Learn more at growlikecrazy.com. That's growlikecrazy.com. Get special pricing for network listeners right now at growlikecrazy.com.